across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio.
Well, a very good evening to you. No Ian Lee tonight. It's me, Jake Yap, sitting in for an election special. I wonder how many times we're going to use the word election in a fruity sort of a way. We're post-Watershed, right? In the meantime, let's catch up with the latest news headlines, shall we?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Ah, citizens, what a wonderful day this is. Is there not joy in all of our hearts on this most democratic of days? A very good evening to you. It's Jake Yap here in for Ian Lee. It's a bit of an election special. And, well, I mean, how fantastic is this election? I mean, well done, America, because out of 350 million people, you got the best two you could possibly get. The absolute... Are they the best two? Yes. Yeah. They are the best two. Fantastic. Are you sure there's no one? No one at all that could possibly... No, we got the best. We got it down to the best two. Tonight, we're going to get the best one. Well done, America. Well done, indeed. We're going to be talking to some voters tonight, not just experts, because, well, the infamous words of Michael Gove, I think people have had enough of experts. Democrats and Republicans alike we'll be talking to, and we're going to be trying to get a feel for what America has felt like today and what it feels like tonight. Times Square in New York, they're expecting a huge party. There's more police officers than have ever been deployed before. In New York, I believe, tonight. Because the two parties, Trump's party and Clinton's party, within 20 blocks of each other, aren't they? But is it a kind of a party vibe in America today? I don't know. We're going to be going live to a party at the US Embassy directly. Other parties, apparently, in the States have been cancelled. Both candidates, I believe the final poll, were coming out equally on 3%. And... huge doses of alcohol came out at 94% approval. So we're going to be having people in New York. We're going to be talking to a Trump, no less. No kidding. We have someone in Alaska, and we have a man at the party in London at the US Embassy, hopefully getting progressively drunk and drunker as the evening continues until he's thrown out. Now, if you've got any thoughts on what is going on? What's going to happen? What's your prediction? 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. Who will win, and are we all going to die? Also, if you want, you can give us a ring and play our one-time fun game, Trump or Chump. Where you can win big. I mean, not prizes, just the word big said to you slightly aggressively. Nigel Farage, he mused on Twitter that this could be the American Brexit until about 2 billion people pointed out on Twitter that that happened on the 4th of July, about 240 years ago. So, let's go. Now, I'm not kidding, live to the US Embassy to talk to our very own reporter Alex Dibble. Alex, are you there?
I'm indeed, Jake. Yeah,
amazing.
It's good atmosphere.
Is it a good party vibe, or is it a bit subdued and weird and tense?
It's a decent party vibe. We've got balloons, we've got red and white lighting, we've got star-spangled banners on the ceilings, we've got massive widescreen TVs with CNN Live, so we're tracking it on there. And yeah, okay. And all the guests are beginning to arrive, so it's a good atmosphere.
Oh, so they're just beginning to arrive. The party's just started.
The party is just getting started, and it's going all the way through the night till about 4:30 or 5 o'clock or whenever the declaration is.
Wow.
And then we all go home, unless, of course, we want to leave early. We've been told that we do have permission to leave before the official end of the party, but I don't think any of us are gonna take them up on that. I think we'll be here for the long haul. But actually, Jake, I'm here with Catherine Crockhart, who's press counsellor here at the embassy. But that, I think, Catherine means overall woman in charge of everything. Is that right?
Well, I don't know about that. The ambassador holds that title, but I try to help out where I can.
What's this evening been like for you as organisationally putting it all together? Because the number of media people in this room is just insane.
Yeah, there's been amazing interest, not just from the media, but obviously from the British public. And so every 4 years, we have a tradition here at the embassy of throwing the doors open and welcoming in friends and contacts and counterparts who follow U.S. politics closely from across the pond. And it's a real pleasure to have so many people coming into the building tonight to watch the returns come in with us.
I can just see some drinks being passed around, some lovely waiters and waitresses. I'm just going to try and grab one. Hang on. Sorry, Jake.
I was going to say, what's the food like? Is there any food being passed around yet?
Well, there's no food. I don't know. Are we having canapés, Catherine? What's the deal?
There absolutely is food here. We have some wonderful sponsors who have provided us with the food and beverage tonight. So downstairs in the basement, Shake Shack are set up to provide some good old-fashioned American burgers, fries, and shakes. Starbucks are here. We've got some great snacks from Metcalf. So our sponsors have been really, really generous in making this evening pleasant for everyone who's here.
I just saw the Budweiser's drift out of reach. It was a bit disappointing. Other beers are, of course, available. But, of course, they're going all out American tonight, which is great. From a personal point of view, is this a bit of a weird night for you? Because, obviously, you sort of, I imagine, have to remain neutral. But at the same time, personally, you're going to have a favorite, aren't you?
Absolutely. We all have our personal favorites in this race. But in this job, we are nonpartisan. And this night for us is not a night to celebrate one candidate or the other, but actually just the process of the elections. I think U.S. democracy is something that people watch all over the world, and it's a little different in every country. So how does the Electoral College work? Why are there swing states? These are questions that we hear all the time, and this is a chance to sort of watch them answered live in real time as the results come in later tonight. So it's a lot to be excited about.
It's a weird one, I suppose, because it has political ramifications, not just for the U.S. in the U.S., but the U.S. all over the world. So just, I mean, the answer to this might be no, but If it goes either way, is your job under threat? Is that a weird question to ask?
No, that is not a weird question to ask at all. We hear it a lot. So our ambassador, for example, who is appointed by the president, the tradition is at the end of every presidential term, our politically appointed ambassadors will tender their resignation. So he'll go home before the next president is inaugurated, and that doesn't matter who the next president is. But for me and for most of my counterparts here in the diplomatic service, we serve at the pleasure of all the presidents. So regardless of which candidate is elected, we'll continue to represent America overseas and be very proud to do that.
Okay, so for you, you're sort of safe, but for the ambassadors, it's maybe not quite the same. So, Jake, you never have that kind of pressure, you see. You never go into a night's work and then think, I might not come out with this with a job.
I begin every show with that mindset. Every show I start thinking, this is probably the last one. I'll be lucky if I get to the end of it. Speaking of getting to the end of it, Alex, how are you going to pace yourself? Because we're going to be talking to you across the night until 1 o'clock in the morning. I can see you eyeing up the Budweiser's. I'm sort of hoping, to be honest, you're going to get increasingly drunk and inappropriate.
I take exception to that, Jake, because I'm a consummate professional. I've no idea how I'm going to pace myself. I don't know if these drinks are free or what. You know, are they, Catherine?
They are indeed.
Well, that is a game changer. So I don't know what's going to happen between now and one. Although, of course, I'm here all the way through till like 5 in the morning, Jake. So I'm going to be professional, and I've got to be careful.
Yeah.
I've got to think, what would Jake Yap do, and then do
no, don't. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 Be careful. Is the press counselor is a weird title, because it sort of implies therapist in a way. Is that the case? Does she have, is she counseling you? Is there some sort of...
You want me to take that one?
Yeah.
No, I've never been asked that question before, and it's an excellent one, but it's a diplomatic traditional title. We're all counselors here. I think we counsel, our counsel is to the ambassador. I would never deign to counsel the journalists who we have the pleasure and privilege of working with in the UK.
Can I ask you, you know, who's the money behind in the embassy? Who are you predicting is going to win this?
We do not predict tonight. We are all just watching the results come in. I think there are
You're
plenty
so
of
good at diplomacy. You are such a professional.
There are plenty of pundits out there who would be happy to offer their predictions. We're just excited about the process and so pleased to see so much interest from across the UK in what's going on back home tonight.
Yeah, well, has there been, I guess, was it 2000 with Al Gore? That was the closest run election in recent memory since this one, right?
Yes. So that election is memorable for a lot of reasons. It's one of only 4 elections we've had in which a candidate won a plurality of the vote, so kind of the majority of the popular election, but lost the Electoral College. That has happened 4 other times, but this was the only one in modern history. And it took 6 weeks for that election to be resolved. So no one is hoping that happens again tonight. We would love to have a result by the end of the party, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Okay. And when can we start to expect results to start trickling in?
So the first polls will be closing around 6 p.m. Eastern time today. So let's see.
11? 11 p.m. right?
Exactly. So we should start to see the first precincts reporting shortly after that. And and once the results look clear, our pundits on all the networks will be helping us call those states one at a time, and the Electoral College results will start to become clear after that. So a lot to stay tuned and watch tonight. I think between sort of 12 and 3, we should see the bulk of sort of the Eastern Seaboard and the middle of the United States come in, and we'll have a much clearer picture then. So maybe we'll have a chance to talk again later tonight.
That would be wonderful if that was possible. That would be brilliant. Thank you very much.
Oh, pleasure.
I appreciate that. So, Alex, in the meantime, pace yourself. And I'm imagining security must be quite high there, right?
Security is pretty high, as you can imagine. Not just any yap can walk in off the street into this building. So yeah, you've got to go through some checks, as you'd imagine. But then once you're in, it's all very jovial, and it's great. And people are wandering around. The media are going to start getting very busy and very stressed at the moment. But right about now, I'm going to enjoy the relative calm before the storm.
That sounds like a really good idea. Please get increasingly. Was her name Kath?
Catherine.
Catherine. Yeah. Can she still hear you?
She can still hear you.
You can still hear me. Because yeah. I was going to say, you know, why don't you try and, like, nick something? But obviously, I was only joking, Catherine. I don't mean it. I was having fun there. I'm assuming you get patted down on the way out as well as on the way in anyway, right?
Do I?
I couldn't possibly comment.
Don't steal anything.
We might have to make a personal exception for Alex.
Whatever you do. Yeah, well, he's cute. thank you so much for talking to us. Really appreciate it.
A pleasure.
All right. So there was the US Embassy with Alex Dibble. We'll catch up with him a little bit later on. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. What are you expecting? Have you turned into a prepper? I almost went prepper tonight getting ready for the show. I ended up buying quite a lot of food and stuff to bring into the studio, thinking, well, you know, I need to hunker down. You know, this could be civil war. I mean, this could be it. So I bought some weird stuff. Bought cactus salad, pickled cactus. Slightly looks like reconstituted green peppers, but you never know. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call if you'd like to play Trump or Chump, where we've got some quotes and you have to guess whether they were genuinely from Donald Trump or if they had come from Hillary Clinton. Not Hillary Clinton, somebody else. That's what I meant to say. Dear God. I want to know what's going to happen. Dr. Larry Sabato. Have you heard of this guy? He's like the best predictor of US presidential elections. Historically, he's like nailed it every single time. And he has a thing called his crystal ball. Now, this guy, Dr. Larry Sabato, he is the Robert Kent Gooch Professor of Politics at the University of Virginia. And he's achieved up to 99% accuracy in past election predictions. Now, he's saying that Clinton is going to be a clear winner. He also says Trump can't win without Florida and North Carolina. He'll probably need Michigan and Pennsylvania as well. He's saying it's going to be Clinton, 322, Trump, 216. It's the first of 270 gets the thing. Is it Alan? Oh, hello.
What kind of cake?
What kind of cake?
Yeah.
Cake? What cake? What cake? I didn't buy cake.
Trump cake.
Trump cake. Trump, definitely Trump cake.
Or you could have Clinton cake if you're a Democrat.
You could, that's a good point. I mean, you can have any cake you like, really. It's sort of a free country, isn't it?
Well, it means, can I look at the battleground?
Yeah.
And look and work out how the Electoral College votes work.
Oh, yeah? Have you figured this all out? Because each state has a different number of votes allocated to it, doesn't it?
California, for example, has got 55.
Yeah.
But Texas, which is bigger than California, has only got 38 votes.
Yeah. This is down to population, isn't it? Presumably.
I mean,
or is it?
Why?
No, it can't be gun ownership because Texas would win that outright, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I mean, Alaska, they've only got 3 votes.
Who's got 3 votes? Alaska.
Alaska.
That sounds about right, doesn't it?
And Hawaii in the Pacific Ocean, they've got 4 votes.
Okay.
But one of the major swing states, Ohio, has got 18 votes.
Well, see? You're well up on this.
Another swing state, Florida, was called controversy in 2000.
Yes.
They got 29 votes.
You're like the Jon Snow of talk radio. This is amazing. No,
and
not Jon Snow, Peter Snow.
I'm staying up all night to follow the results.
Are you going to stay up all night?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
I really like the idea of doing that, but I don't think I'd last the course, to be honest with you.
Well, my secret is to get a cup of get plenty of tea, Danya.
Yeah.
Because the buildup of the caffeine helps you to stay awake.
That is a pro tip. Thank you very much for that. Will you hold over the break and we'll play Trump or Chump?
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. All right, we'll talk after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Yeah. Hey, this is cool. This is someone else's music. Who gets this music normally? I can't remember. Ian gets this music. Obviously, he's a show, isn't it? Ian Lee's not here tonight. That's fairly apparent, isn't it? There'll be professional service resumed tomorrow evening. It's Jake Yap here with a special election special. Until 1 o'clock this morning. Alan is still on the line. Hello, Alan.
Hi, Jake.
Hi. We're going to play Trump or Chump.
Yeah.
So the way we play this is I ask you for a number between 1 and 20. And then I read you a quote, and you have to guess, is this Donald Trump or some other chump?
Okay.
And you can win big.
Right.
Can't win anything. Right. Do you want to give us a number then, 1 to 20?
I'm going to go for the electoral votes in New Jersey, about 14.
You are so up on this. I'm really impressed. Okay, 14. Is this Donald Trump or some other chump? When I go, God's going to have to give up his favourite chair.
That's going to be someone else.
Is it?
I'll say Marco Rubio.
It's a good guess. It's very wide of the mark. But you're right that it wasn't Donald Trump, and that's really all that matters in this game. It was Brian Clough.
Hi, good old Cloughy.
Good old Cluffy. That's what we always call him in my house. Actually, in my house we call him... Is he that football thing? I don't know. That's what we call him. So, who do you want to win this election?
Well, if it's not going on the toss of a coin, I would say Trump.
Well, not on the toss of a coin, just your opinion. Who do you want to win?
I've been a fan of Trump ever since I saw him on The Apprentice.
Right.
And I think some of his policies is quite good, especially getting Mexico to build the wall.
Hmm. Okay, well, I mean, if that's what you want, that's, it's a lot of wall.
If Clinton does get in the White House, I reckon she'll be impeached in 4 years, a bit like what happened to her husband.
Well, Donald Trump's got two court cases pending in December, hasn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he has.
Propaganda
I think
by the Clinton campaign.
Crikey, you're hardcore. I believe that, yeah, you're perhaps more of an Arizona inhabitant than I gave you credit for. All right, do you want to play one more of these? Give us another number, 1 to 20.
I'm going to go for Bill Clinton as the governor of Arkansas, number 6.
Okay, then. Who was this Trump or some other chump? The beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
That's got to be the Donald.
Oh, he's bang on. He's bang on. Should we do one more? What do you think,
Kat? Yeah, one more.
All right, do one more, go on.
I'm going to Alabama for number 11.
Alabama for number 11. Okay, it's a long one. Trump or chump? You should only believe about 90% of what I say. As a matter of fact, don't even believe anything that I'm saying at all. I could be completely messing with you and the world the entire time.
Oh, tough one, but I'm going to say the Donald.
Oh, Alan, I'm so sorry.
What was it?
It's Kanye West.
Kanye West?
Yeah.
Probably endorsing Hillary.
Probably, more like. That's what I always say. Well, well done, you scored 2.
That's not bad.
It's very good. I'm impressed. Better than I
would. For people to try.
You what, sorry?
Sorry.
Oh, there we go. Oh, we're not having a cough off.
Sorry.
Because I will go till 1 on that if you want. Sorry?
Bit of a benchmark for other people to have a go.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you for phoning, Alan. It's really nice of you because, I appreciate it. You know, I'm not Ian. I know that. I can never be Ian to you. But Perhaps I could be your new friend.
Well, who knows, Jake? Who knows?
The night's young. Take care, Alan. Thank you very much indeed. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call if you'd like to play Trump or Chump. It's the fun game that literally no one is talking about, although Kath rather optimistically turned it into a hashtag on Twitter. If you want to get in touch on Twitter, it's at Talk Radio or at Jake Yap. Shall we talk to Corinne? Let's talk to Corinne, right? Corinne!
Hello.
Is that Corinne or is that...
Yes, it is.
Oh, hi!
Hello.
Are you Corinne as in Corinne?
Yes.
Amazing. Well, it's lovely to talk to you. Corinne and Matthew have been very loyal listeners to my Sunday breakfast show here on Talk Radio. But we've never actually spoken before. It's very nice to speak to you.
You're welcome. It's lovely to call in.
It is lovely of you to call in. So who do you want to win this election then?
It has to be Hillary.
Does it?
Please, God, let it be Hillary.
What you're saying is, please, God, let the outcome of this election really annoy 150 million gun-toting Donald Trump supporters. Is that necessarily...
Yeah, kind of. That would be at least fun for the UK to watch, right?
Sure, absolutely. Why not? I saw a woman on the news this morning, and she was a Trump supporter, and she was saying, well, if we don't win tomorrow, then we're just going to have to take the White House by force. We're coming to the White House and we'll be armed. Did you see that, Kath? Terrifying!
There's got to be a film about that, hasn't there?
This must have been done. Surely it's been done. I have no idea.
Isn't that the White House has fallen?
Maybe it's a prophecy. I have no idea. Would you like to play Trump or Chump?
I can try. I can't remember which numbers have gone yet, though.
Don't worry, I'll tell you if they've gone. I have a system whereby I circle the numbers that have gone. That way, continuing the broadcasting excellence everyone has enjoyed for the last 27 minutes. So pick a number between 1 and 20.
15,
which has not gone. And here's a quote, and you have to tell me, is this Donald Trump or some other chump? It's not bragging if you can back it up.
Oh, it's got to be another chump. I don't know who, but it has to be.
You are correct. It was Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
So, well done.
That was far too eloquent for Trump.
Really? Got up to two syllables there. All right, pick another number. Congratulations, you're on a roll.
Seven.
Even as a kid, I always had eyes on me, like bees on honey. I was always outrageous and I was always very smart.
That's really arrogant and it sounds Trump-like. So, yeah, Trump.
I'm afraid it was another chump.
Oh, no.
It was Lady Gaga.
Someone to whom I've been likened, apparently.
Really? Is that just the meat bras, or is that... I mean, what's that? Was it a meat bikini, wasn't it?
No, I think it was a bleached blonde hair.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations. I also get compared to Lady Gaga quite a lot. I won't say why. Well, well done. I'm afraid you're on the leaderboard, but you only have 1 point. So you're not the actual leader. You're in second
place. I'll take
place,
that and be proud.
Yeah, why not? Why not? And just in case this is, the last night of civilized humanity, do enjoy yourself. How are you going to stay up and watch? How long are you going to stay up for?
We're going to try. I don't know. I mean, the polls in the Eastern America close in a couple of hours. Mm. I don't think we're going to make the West Coast, but we'll go to the East.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, East Coast. Yeah, whatever. Well, thank you for ringing. I do appreciate that. It's lovely to talk to you.
Have a good evening.
Yeah, and we'll speak soon. Thanks very much. That was Corinne. 0344-499-1000 number to call if you'd like to play Trump or Chump. Coming up in the show, we've got an exclusive interview with Melania Trump. We're going to be talking to some expat Americans now living in Bedfordshire. We're going to be talking to a Trump in New York. All of that still to come right here on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Jem on Twitter says, what if we want to take part in the cough off? I've got a cough. I expect you've got a cough, haven't you? Everyone's got a cough at the moment. Everyone's breathing on each other. How unsanitary. You know what? That's the worst thing about vaping, I think. I cannot stand vaping for the simple reason that you get to see how much breath just goes everywhere. It's just all over you. Someone breathes out and it's everywhere. But if you want to have a cough off, I'll throw down. I'll expectorate. I've got some great expectorations. 0344 499 1000. What the hell? I mean, why not? We're all going to die. We do have a couple of massive interviews. We've got Melania Trump and also the potential first gentleman of the White House, Bill Clinton, still to come here on Talk Radio. Quite a scoop, I know. Should probably have talked it up a bit more, really, but, you know. What can I say? Why don't we talk, though, to Rob and Valerie? Now, they're a couple of expat Americans now based in Bedfordshire. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Hello. 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 Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Well done. Hi. Where are you from originally, then?
Well, I'm from Rhode Island, from the Northeast. But I lived in Texas for probably, unfortunately, for 25 years. And Rob, you're from Connecticut.
Yeah, I'm from Connecticut, but went to uni in Virginia and then moved to Texas as well for 12 years.
Wow. What were you doing in Texas then? What took you there?
I was a geophysicist, so I was it was all oil exploration.
I was going to say, that's no one does more geophysicism.
Yeah, and I was kind of forced to get with them since I was in love with them. So I moved back to Texas with them. And now we love Texas. It's actually a great state and full of culture, and actually I quite enjoyed it, and I just didn't like the weather.
Too hot?
Too hot. We like the cold. We lived in Alaska for a year and a half, and that was really amazing.
Wow, you did the extremes, huh? Couldn't you just gone for somewhere a bit more insipid and temperate, like, I don't know.
I know, now we live in England.
Well, like, what's right in the middle of everything? Where is it they do all the parcel shipping?
Oh,
Illinois,
Tennessee, isn't it?
Yeah, Tennessee. I went there. I went to Dollywood.
Oh, that's good fun.
Have you been to Dollywood?
It was years ago. Yeah,
but, you went.
Yeah, we did go.
Isn't it amazing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Just for the tattoos on the other people there, but
Well, that's part of the fun. I mean, you have to play the over under on. We had an over and under of about four to decide whether or not somebody was over under the amount of tattoos.
I'm gonna sound stupid saying this because it's a bit like saying, it's like someone saying, "Oh, the food on the ferry was wonderful." But Dollywood, right? Hear me out. It's a theme park with a soul.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was great fun. It was. See, it used to be this tiny little place called Silver Dollar City. This is going to go way back. This is dates me a little bit. So before Dolly Parton bought it,
when dollars were silver.
Yeah, well, exactly. It was based around this whole kind of silver mining theme park.
Oh, right.
Which I thought was interesting in and of itself. But then she took it over and...
Because I loved it. Because you go around and it's very beautiful. It's all, like, got amazing plants and stuff. And she's got, like, a bald eagle sanctuary there. And people are making, like, really beautiful handmade instruments there and stuff. And it sounds dumb to say it, but it's got a soul.
Oh, no, it was a great place.
Yeah. And she's known in one county in Tennessee. She's just called the Book Lady because she buys a book for every school kid every month.
Aww,
did you know that?
Sweet. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
no, I didn't know that either.
Wow.
Quite a fan of Dolly Parton.
Another great woman doing great things.
Well, exactly. Speaking of great women doing great things,
yay,
how are you?
Is
that okay? There we go. Nailing your colours to the mast there. Are you Team Hillary all the way?
Oh, I am not just voting against Trump, I'm actually voting for Hillary Clinton. I think, I don't know, you voted against Trump, Rob, or?
No, well, yeah, I mean, I voted for Hillary. It was three quarters of a vote for her and a quarter against him, so it just a...
Me, yeah. I was 100% Clinton. She's done
really
quite a bit for the United States already. She passed social reform for women and abuse, social victim of abuse. And she also passed some social reform for veterans who came back from the first Gulf War who suffered from attacks, poisoning attacks. And she's the one that pushed some of the laws to protect them. And she was on the education board in Arkansas. So their education system there was really, I think, number one, worse in the country. So she really helped get them more emphasis on math and sciences and the arts. So she's a politician, obviously. But she's I mean, honestly, it's compared to a lot of the potential presidents we've had in the past. You know, I think she's going to do a really good job.
See, you're 100% Hillary Clinton. I'm interested to know what percentage would you have been for Bernie Sanders had he become the candidate?
I don't think the United States, I liked him, but I don't think the U.S. is ready for Bernie Sanders yet. He's very socialist, and even though that works great in a lot of the European countries, I don't think the United States could go from a capitalist country immediately to a socialistic country. He was very extreme.
You don't think that, like, Hillary Clinton was quite divisive because, you know, there were so many people that, because of her history, they didn't like her. And for some people, it really counted against her.
Well, I think there's a lot of, well, based on some of the research I've done and some of the news that's come out recently, it seems like a lot of it was fabricated. I mean, even the FBI admitted that a lot of the things that they came out with were actually false. And that the media itself came out with false claims. So, I mean, and I'm not saying she's a saint. Like I said, she's a politician, but she's a career politician. And one thing I do stand for is gun reform. And I know that's a big policy that's on her plate. And I really wish her luck on that, because if you've got a high Republican Congress, it's going to be very difficult for her to pass anything through. But one can hope that we get more Democrats in the Congress so she can start to have tougher laws on gun control, because we really need that. We really do.
What brought you to Britain?
Well, for both of us, we both wanted to retire in Europe, and obviously we're way far from that. And I have an EU passport and I'm French, so when Brexit happened, I was like, oh, crap. Don't let us go back in case it's wrong. No, I'm serious. But seriously, though, we moved here because I do have family in Europe. And a lot of them I've actually never met, so I've gotten to meet quite a bit of my French family. And I'm a classical musician. I'm actually Catherine's guitar teacher.
Ah.
and you know, Europe and England are very culturally advanced, and I'm just having a blast performing around England. So we're just so happy here.
Regular listeners will be wanting to know, is Kath any good at the guitar?
Do they not know? Surely by now they know she's a guitarist.
She's holding up one finger, and I don't know what that is. Is that some reference to Django Reinhardt? I don't know. She's tapping. She opened the microphone if you wanted to. Can you just, why not?
She likes Carly Simon. I just gave her an arrangement of Carly Simon on the guitar, so she's got to practice and learn it.
Carly Simon. Fabulous. You could pass for Carly Simon, Kath. And now she can't talk. She can't find the fader to open for the microphone. Brilliant. Well, she wrote, I'm terrible. hasty typing there on the talkback.
Nah,
that's my microphone. Oh, dear. Okay.
She can sing, too. She's got a lovely voice. She'll make her sing.
Yeah. We'll have Kath singing in the last hour. We'll have
live. American National Anthem.
Yes, that's what we should do. Yes, we'll definitely do that. Just like at the beginning of all the football matches and everything. In the land of...
Yeah, she can do all the embellishments.
The Brit.
You know?
Yeah.
Coloratura.
Yeah, we call her the Mariah Carey of talk radio.
Oh, exactly. Totally. She's going to kill me.
Well, it looks like you're probably going to get the result you're hoping for tonight, doesn't
yes.
it?
So. Yeah, we're on pins and needles, but we have hope that Clinton will win. I mean, past presidents who are Republicans are voting for her, so what does that say?
Well, quite. And will you be gracious, winners? Because I thought it was interesting, you know, Hillary Clinton, she called Trump voters deplorables. And I did kind of think, how are you giving these people a path back to you? If you call them stuff like that, if you just label them as racist, how are you going to bring them back to the fold? Because you're just going to push them away, aren't you?
Well, I guess in a way we are, but you have to understand when I think of this election, I've never been very political, and I try to stay away as a musician. I try to stay away from politics, particularly in social media.
Oh, yeah, like Beyoncé or Bruce Springsteen or any of the other ones.
It's not really my place to speak out. I don't want to offend people, and it can be really tricky when you're out there and you're performing and you want to keep it just about the music. But the one thing this year was too much hate on the opposition. There was a lot of violence that was propagated through the Trump campaign. You've got somebody who's outspoken against women, who's bringing back the good old days of racism and xenophobia. And it's just, how can you support? I mean, those are more, to me, morals. And somebody who propagates that and somebody who supports that is not someone I can get along with or be friends with, because, you know, not perfect people here, but we're definitely, you know, for human rights and equality. Yeah. So I just, if you support that kind of man, I just don't know how I could possibly look at somebody in the eye and say, oh, yeah, you're a good person, you support Trump.
Well, hey, man, if anything can break down barriers, it's music, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's after this. After tomorrow's election, I'm just sticking to music.
There you go. Thank you very much for talking to us today. Really appreciate it.
Now go sing, Catherine.
Yeah, Catherine, she's warming up now. She's giving it proper finger waggling. That was Rob and Valerie, expats, Americans living in Bedfordshire now. 0344 499 1000 if you'd like to play our game, Trump or Chump. We have an exclusive interview with the potential First Lady of America after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Well, it's a very busy time for all concerned in the race to become America's 45th and final president. So it's with great surprise and gratitude that I can welcome the current wife of the Republican nominee Donald Trump via the miracle of Skype. Melania Trump, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm great. I'm very strong. I'm very confident. I'm not ashamed of my body. I feel very comfortable with myself and with my body.
Okay, that's okay. How are you feeling about the election? The presidential election. Your husband could be the next president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel things have gone? All the traveling and campaigning, not to mention all the controversy. It all comes down to today.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts at all on the campaign?
I'm doing great.
Yes, with your body, as you said. What about Donald? He looks quite confident about his body.
I was not surprised about that. He's run for president. He would say that kind of stuff in private. I heard many different stuff. Everything was organized.
In his body?
Yes.
Just the way it should be. Melania, you know Donald Trump and his body better than anyone.
Yes.
Kind of, with the exception of his barber and his divorce lawyer and countless women. But do you think he's really ready for the White House?
Yes.
And are you prepared for all the responsibilities and duties that come with being First Lady? How do you see your role if Donald wins?
Watch TV and play. Hour after hour, hour after hour. Sometimes show each other, oh, this and that, and talking about the girls and many different stuff that I never did in my life. That's it.
Nailed it. Melania Trump, potential First Lady of the USA. You've certainly given us a lot of confidence, both in our bodies and in whatever kind of mind is rattling around in yours. Thank you very much for your time.
We take the finest Argentinian beef, mature it for 24 days, then serve it as a sizzling, succulent steak, served with new potatoes bursting with flavor and crisp green beans. And you turn it into poo. We take fresh double cream and combine it with egg yolks to prepare the perfect creme brulee. And within 24 hours of your spoon breaching the crackly sugar canopy, you've turned it into poo. I don't know why we bother. Our shop is filled with the finest array of quality fruits and vegetables, sourced from around the world. Thousands of hours of toil and years of expertise, just for you to go and turn it all into poo overnight. But there is one product that's just a little different. The Jake Yap Podcast. Jake Yap's Sunday Best is a free product that you can download from the talkradio.co.uk website or from iTunes or other podcast providers, and that you can transform into the occasional chuckle or brief burst of synaptic activity and thought. Plus, it's a bit poo already. So next time you walk around a supermarket, just think about what every product in there will be by this time tomorrow.
A little plug there for the podcast of my Sunday breakfast show. It's Jake Yap in for Ian Lee. Very good evening to you. It's a US election special until 1 o'clock in the morning, and then the two mics will be here. Let's talk to Chris in Oxfordshire. Hello there.
Good evening, Jake. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, thank you.
Thank you for hanging on. What do you make of this election then?
I'll be glad when the pantomime is over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the booing and the hissing.
Yeah, well, it's...
And very much with the presidential debates behind you when it came to Donald Trump standing behind Hillary Clinton.
It's a farce with the greatest clown ever. And I kind of... People are liking Trump to Farage, and I think it's more sort of Corbyn-esque, in as he has this popularity that I just can't explain, and the guy is just totally unelectable, and I don't understand it.
Isn't it that really people have kind of they've fallen in love with the narrative, and it's really he could be anyone. It's just what he represents. What he represents is the kind of none of the above.
Yeah, it's a break from the Washington elite, isn't it?
Exactly.
He's something different, and but something different isn't good. And I've had this conversation with several people over the last week or so, and I liken this. And the question I would like to ask Trump supporters would be, would you let somebody who's never, ever driven before behind the wheel of the steering wheel of a school bus that your kids are in?
Well, I think Trump supporters would probably say, well, what we want is someone who can run the country like a business and be successful with it. I mean, you know, he has had managerial experience. He is used to big international deals and stuff like that. I mean, it's not like, you know, he worked at a puppy farm.
I've yet to read too many reports which said that he didn't bully his way through most businesses. And not all of his business deals have been a success, have they?
Well, certainly not. No, he's been bankrupt three times. I mean, but people don't care. I mean, I think this is the point. He himself said something about, he could go and pull a knife on someone on Fifth Avenue. He said something like that, and people would still vote for him. And that's true, isn't it? I mean, he's untouchable because they don't really care. What they care about is voting for someone outside the whole kind of world of politics and upsetting the apple cart. I mean, isn't that what happened with Brexit?
Well, I don't know what happened with Brexit. I was a Leave supporter, but it certainly wasn't based upon on any immigration policy. It was simply because I was fed up with Brussels telling me what a banana should look like.
But I think that's exactly the same syndrome that you've got here with Trump. People are fed up with being told, you know, what's good for them by the capital.
I don't think
all Trump supporters are racist. So, you know, at all.
Absolutely not. I think, but there is nothing about the Republican ideology that I agree with. I mean, I'm vehemently against the death penalty. I could never be a supporter of the NRA their Second Amendment rights. I just confuse me. I just don't understand it. I don't understand the need. There are more people killed by guns in America every day than there are killed in this country by guns per year, or something like that.
Mm. I think the problem is that sort of people attach themselves to one narrative or another. based on that kind of ideology thing where, I mean, someone on Twitter, I think it was a guy called Jem, very brilliantly reduced it down. He said, you have two outlooks in life, right? Either you believe that most people are bad, or you believe that most people are good. And that fundamental belief of one or the other will inform a lot of your political ideology. And I think that there's a lot of people in America that believe that most people are bad. And so what they want is the right to bear arms. You know, they're frightened people. I think most people in America are terrified. And when you have a figure like Donald Trump who comes along and says, do you know what? I'll be your daddy. I'll take care of all of this. Because it's hard thinking about like the complex stuff, isn't it? You know, when you have to look at all the thorny, difficult, intricate issues of, well, how we allow some people immigration and other people we don't, and how do we do that, and we should sort our recycling, and what do we do about that? When one person comes and says, you know what, I am your magic bullet, I will take care of everything, don't worry about it. I mean, he said in one of his final addresses, he said, this is your chance to make all your dreams for your country come true. And the crowd went wild. And they went wild because that's what they want to believe. And he fulfills that belief. He won't be able to deliver it. What they want.
It's a long time since I, you know, 25 years, actually more than that, since I was at school. But I sort of remember this sort of ideal in the Canterbury Tales and the pardoner and this idea that people would buy pardons because that's what they needed to make their life complete and to feel the sort of be absolved of all their sins, and he sort of fulfills that that persona.
Yeah, and it's the magic bullet.
Yeah, and it is utter. Well, you know, we're all entitled to our opinion, but it just strikes me as utter nonsense.
Well.
But there again, I'm a man of absolutely zero faith whatsoever. So I don't get religion either, and I don't subscribe to or don't understand why people attach themselves to that belief system either.
Well, if there's one thing America's big on, it's religion and their belief in God. Chris, we have to leave it there. Thank you so much for calling in this evening. Really appreciate it.
No worries. You take care.
Take care. That was Chris in Oxford. 03444991000 is the number to call if you'd like to have your say, or if you want to play Trump or Chump, on a more lighthearted note. Let's talk to Amos in Surrey. Hello, Amos.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hi there.
Oh, there we go. Popped in there. Very good. Now, Amos, where are you from originally?
Well, I'm from Texas.
Okay, I'll go with it.
I'm actually from Surrey.
There you go. I mean, not that it wasn't good, it was good.
Oh, come on now, it's brilliant.
It was really good. Amos, for the want of a better name for you. should we carry on with Amos, or do you want to
you can call me whatever you like, Jake. You hear me.
Okay. Brenda, what do you make of this election, then?
Well, you know, I think I'd probably like to read you a quote that I saw on Facebook this morning from somebody who's really quite wise about the whole thing, who said perhaps that Hillary should have come up with a statement like, you know, who is it you're angry with? The people who got rid of your jobs, the people who messed with your environment, the people who made your healthcare unaffordable. Who did this? Who made these decisions? It's not government, it's big business. And government represents the thin blue line, which admittedly often fails, that tries to stop these big businesses from enslaving you altogether. And if you put big business into the White House, we might as well all put the shackles on, because we're all part of one big chain gang now. And I think that kind of encapsulated absolutely the problem with middle America right now. I can understand why they're angry. They've had a really hard time, but they don't really know why. They really don't know what it is that's made them so angry. And they have somebody who's stirred up the hate, who's captured their emotions. And we've seen this so many times before in history, capturing hate and emotion and harnessing it and taking it forward to power. Mm. And it never ends well.
And fear, too. I do think a lot of this is about fear.
I absolutely agree. You know, and we've seen what was called Project Fear in Europe. And I think, you know, both sides of the Brexit argument try and seize the high ground in Project Fear. But I think both sides were guilty. Yeah. In trying to make people scared of what would happen if they didn't vote the way that they were told to vote by that particular campaigner.
Absolutely.
And it's terrible. There's a fantastic comedian who I really like. He's an Australian called Jim Jefferies.
Yeah.
And I saw something from him today, which was talking about hate and harnessing hate.
Amos, hate, I'm so I have to leave it there, and I have to go to the news. I'm so sorry.
No worries.
But we'll be back after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio.
We have an exclusive interview with Bill Clinton on the way and some White House erotica after the news.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Will you all please stand? Catherine Boyle will now sing the national anthem. Come on, your sister Susan does it. Why can't you do it? Oh, there we go. Lovely. Charming. Charming gestures through the studio window. Very good evening to you. It's Jake Yap here sitting in for Ian Lee for one night only. It's an election special. Results. Well, they ought to start trickling in within the next hour or so. Some polls have closed. Kentucky, I think the polls have closed there, and results should come through relatively quickly. So it will be interesting to see how it all pans out. What is this election about, eh? For some of us, I don't know. I just think it's a mess. It looks like it's going to be Hillary Clinton. It's first to 270 votey, seaty things. I think she's going to get it. So does Dr. Larry Sabato. The one to look out for is Missouri, the Missouri bellwether. I don't know if you've heard about this. This is the political phenomenon that notes that the state of Missouri voted for the winner in all but one U.S. presidential election from 1904 to 2004. Just 1956, they got it wrong. While states like Ohio, Iowa, Nevada, and New Mexico have been arguably stronger indicators of political trends in recent years, Missouri was a consistent swing state throughout the 20th century. So there you go. That could be the one. So it's probably going to be Hillary, but you never know. There may be the shy Trumps, the quiet Trumps. We've all done them, perhaps in a cinema. Let's finish off our conversation. Shall we finish our conversation with Amos? All right, let's find out what button I press. There you go. Hello, Amos.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, Brenda, Amos. So we were saying that a lot of this is based on fear, and so you're a fan of Clinton. Are you a fan of Clinton, or are you an active not fan of Trump? That's the question, really.
Yeah, so I wouldn't say that I was a particular fan of Hillary Clinton. I've met her twice, and on both occasions she was very, very impressive. She is clearly an extremely competent statesperson.
Right.
With a great deal of experience, a great deal of knowledge, and a great deal of judgment. But I think that all of that was called into question over her decision to use an alternative communication system.
Right. This is the emails kept on her private server.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But then again, you know, there were behind the scenes, there were extremely good reasons for somebody in her position with the U.S. Senate and the U.S. government the way it is, to want to do that. And I think all of that has been kept out of the public eye.
Oh, really?
The terrible infighting that goes on within Capitol Hill, and the terrible cross-party corruption, and the terrible vested interests. So
you think
there may have been nefarious intent, there are also a million good reasons why she should have wanted to do that. And the thing,
right.
And the thing that really worries me is that there's been all this publicity about these emails and WikiLeaks publishing thousands and thousands of emails online. And every Trump supporter that I've had debates with on Twitter, which is many.
You need to get out more.
I do need to get out more. Which is many. And I've asked them all to point towards a single piece of evidence of criminal activity that they have actually seen with their own eyes.
Mm.
And it generally results in a string of insults and then a blocking on Twitter because there isn't actually any. There's all sorts of suggestion.
Yeah.
And you know, and poor judgment and evidence of slightly unpleasant behaviour, which is prevalent in the political classes, but no different to anybody else on Capitol Hill. But I've yet to see anything at all. You know, there's all the suggestion about the Clinton Foundation and her cash for questions, but you know, point to a government in the world where this kind of stuff isn't actually just sort of normal business.
So I'm really interested that, you know, for you, the whole sort of email scandal, you actually think, you know, Clinton may have had very good reasons for actually wanting effectively some insulation of her emails from the whole kind of political system with its corruption and infighting and stuff.
Well, of course. I mean, put yourself as the first potential female president of the United States fighting against a, dare I say, pretty misogynistic, quite conservative in the American sense society, and the amount of undermining influences that you are likely to receive in that kind of position. So with her planning this second attempt at the presidency for some years, there's an awful lot of strategic planning that goes into that.
Right.
And to have those kind of communications available to those who would seek to undermine her and bring her down, frankly, just wasn't an option.
Really interesting. And then I guess in the light of what James Comey, the director of the FBI, did right in the run-up to this election, perhaps vindicates that, doesn't it?
Well, you know, again, I think Comey was probably under tremendous pressure from all sides. And, you know, there's one man's job on this planet that you wouldn't want. Like him, loathe him, judge him either way.
Yeah.
Put yourself in that position where you are faced with the most horrific lobbying from all sides on what do you do with all this information?
Yeah.
You know, make a decision. You need to do something. This is, you know, she's going for the White House. She's a criminal. She's this. She's that. She's the other. So he, you know, I don't know. I have no knowledge of this whatsoever. But for him to turn around and say, actually, I've just had a whole load of new information hit my desk, and I just need to have a look at it.
Yeah,
that could be one side of it. The other side of it, he could have been got out from the significant influence from the Trump campaign. I make no judgment, but I'm just saying it was an incredibly difficult situation for somebody in law enforcement in such a high-profile position to be in.
Yeah. Well, making no judgment is a very rare trait in this whole election, and so thank you for your balanced thoughts on this. Appreciate it. That was Amos in Surrey. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. We have to, though, now cross over to the US Embassy in London, where Alex Dibble awaits us. Are you there?
I am indeed, Jake. Are you there?
I'm partly here. I'm not all here. And what's the party like? Is it hotting up now?
Oh, the party is hotting up. There must be a good couple of thousand people now. Everyone's getting involved with the drinks. There is a burger bar downstairs, but it's not currently making any burgers, so we're a bit concerned about that. Hopefully things are going to change pretty sharpish, because a few of us are getting pretty peckish.
What are their diplomatic relations with Iceland like?
That is an incredibly good question. I'm not sure whether there are any Icelands in the heart of Mayfair, though.
No, I dare say there aren't. In terms of security measures, have they done what they did for the Trump Tower in Manhattan? I don't know if you saw what they've done there today. They ended up parking rubbish trucks all the way along the front of Trump Tower, filled with sand, to prevent any kind of sort of terrorist attempt to attack it.
Yeah, that was bizarre, wasn't it? No, they haven't done anything about like that. They've gone slightly, I'm going to say, old school, which is people with automatic rifles strapped to their
fronts.
Yeah.
That's effective.
That's pretty much it.
Is that not a bit of a buzzkill for a party, having people strolling around with
Not inside.
Okay, fine.
Not like around the burger bar. Goodness
well,
me.
Well, if they ran out of bottle openers.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
Someone's got to suggest it to them. Yeah. It's a good laugh. No, seriously. I mean, it's a great atmosphere here. Plenty of people. You walk in, it's one of those ones where you almost can't hear yourself think because so many people in conversation, loads of people discussing what's going to be happening tonight. And, of course, over the next couple of hours, some of the key swing states are going to be coming in. Mm. And declaration time will probably be, like 5 in the morning maybe. But in reality, we may well know that Clinton's won it by 2 in the morning, or maybe even 1, depending on how the swing states go on the East Coast, because that's where they all are: Pennsylvania, North Carolina, New Hampshire, Florida. Yeah. And if all of them come back Clinton, then we're going to know way before 5 that she's the President of the United States.
On a selfish level, I really hope it's by 1, because that's when I'm on air until...
You want to announce it?
Yeah, of course I do!
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, amazing. Did you manage to get hold of a beer?
I didn't. Do you know what? I took the executive decision with another reporter, who's a good friend of mine. Mm. We thought, if we go for beer now at 10 o'clock, this was after I spoke to you last.
Yes.
It's going to be a long night. You know, we don't finish at 1, like some people.
Okay.
We've got to go all the way through. So we decided, let's go for something to perk ourselves up. We went for a Pepsi. Other soft drinks are available.
No, there aren't. Only Pepsi Max. It's the only drink.
So we went for something slightly more energetic, and we'll perhaps progress to the beer later.
That's not a bad idea. Have you not tried to sort of, deliberately jet lag yourself or anything?
Yeah, well, this is the thing.
You should have, eaten a bowl of Frosties or something at about 9 o'clock tonight.
I know. I've packed some, energy bars and a bit of fruit and nut chocolate as well to keep me going.
Yeah.
But there was a big thing for me today. What time do I wake up this morning? Do I have a nap in the afternoon? How am I going to get through the day if I don't have a nap in the afternoon, which I didn't in the end? I'm going to be up for 26 hours or whatever.
Alex, how old are you?
28.
You're fine. You'll be fine.
No, I'm an old man, Jake. I may be 28 on the outside, but I'm sort of 58 on the inside.
Yeah, I'm 43 on the outside. You don't want to know what I look like on the inside. Although James Whale seemed quite curious earlier this evening. I don't know if you heard any of that. Well, Alex, go in there. Are people mingling? This is the thing. Or are they staying in little pockets?
Mingling is a very, very good word for what's going on at the moment. Mm-hmm. People are huddling as well.
Oh, really?
I don't know what other verbs I can use. Mingling,
are they whispering
huddling?
Conspiratorially?
Yes, indeed. And sometimes you have to wander past people's conversations and sort of try and eavesdrop without looking like you're eavesdropping and seeing what you can pick up.
Oh, really? What have you picked up, then?
The most interesting I've got so far is, I think I'm going downstairs to the toilets.
Oh, that's intriguing. I mean, that could mean anything.
I know.
That probably means a Trump win in Ohio.
And Pennsylvania, I heard. It's code.
Yeah. Well, please don't get yourself into too much trouble there. You know, we do need you to keep going.
I will do my best. I'll do my best.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you very much, Alex. Pace yourself.
Will do.
It easy. That's Alex Dibble in the US Embassy in London. Parties going on all over the world. New York, obviously, is the big party capital. That's where both Clinton and Trump are having their celebration or commiseration party. It must be really weird, I think, trying to work out... What's a party going to be like when it's either going to be like a birthday or a wake? Just go either way, couldn't it? What's kind of neutral party food for that? Because you don't necessarily want to have, party rings, which I assume they do, because, I mean, they can have anything. Would you break out the party rings? Because that's just going to taste like ash in your mouth, isn't it, if you've just lost the best job in the world. Anyway, 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. It's Jake Yap in for Ian Lee this evening, just as a one-off election special. We are playing Trump or Chump, where we're asking you to guess if a quote is from Donald Trump or some other chump, which is a nice fun game to play. We're not asking too much. You don't have to do too much political analysis or punditry. You can just ring up and play a silly game if you like. 0344-499-1000 is the number to call. After the break, we are going to talk to an actual Trump in actual New York.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Hey! It's Jake Yap sitting in for Ian Lee here until 1 o'clock in the morning. We've got some White House erotica, some US election erotica closing out the show before the two mics at 1 o'clock. I wrote it just now in great haste. And the thing about writing in great haste is you don't necessarily have enough time to use your critical faculties to, you know, assess whether or not it's appropriate. So might be worth sticking around for. We've also got an exclusive interview coming up later with Bill Clinton. In the meantime, I'm delighted to say we're going to cross live to New York to talk to a Trump. Good evening, Ms. Trump.
Hi, Jake. Yeah.
Hi. How are you? I'm very well, thanks very much indeed. This is Maxine Trump. You are an English woman in New York.
Yeah, and can I just say no relation straight out of the bat?
Yes, you can. You formed a new movement. In fact, there's a video on YouTube and stuff, if people want to find it, called Trumps Against Trump. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. So please watch it, because I just want everybody to know that I have nothing to do with him.
I'm amazed. It's never really occurred to me to wonder how many other Trumps there were and whether or not they support the Donald. Did you find more Trumps then?
Well, you know what's really bizarre? And the name's really rare in America. In New York State, there's only 100 of us. And across the whole country, there's 4,000. And you think that it's a country of 320 million people. Mm. That's not many.
That's so, not bad, though.
Yeah. Well, it's like a 0.0000000001%.
Yeah, but you're talking to a guy called Yap. I mean, what do you expect? You know, I have no sympathy for you. When you contacted these Trumps, how sympathetic were they to the cause?
Well, funnily enough, a lot were ex-directory. Because one of the Trumps we did actually get hold of was said to me, well, how did you get my number? Because years and years ago, I had to go ex-directory because I was getting so many calls from people wanting my money or actually trying to date him because he had the same name as Donald Trump's dad, Fred Trump.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was quite an enlightening experience for me. Also saying, I'm Maxine Trump, hello, Fred Trump. You know, it's kind of, can you imagine? We're no relation, but I'm just ringing up out of the blue.
Wow. Yeah, that's an interesting, yeah. I can imagine a lot of smiling and backing away. What, so tell people what you did in the film.
Sure. Well, I literally, you know, Facebook actually was perfect, because I could just find as many Trumps as possible and just one by one manually approach everybody with a very nice little email and message. And then I went through the phone book, and then I went on LinkedIn and every single social media platform possible.
Wow. LinkedIn.
And yeah.
Amazing.
It works.
Yeah, it's where it's where all the hip crowd is.
All the hip crowd. But actually, I didn't get much from Twitter, so maybe Twitter's not as hip as, you know, as we once thought it was.
Well, there's more trolling I guess because there's more trolling on Twitter than there is on LinkedIn. I've never heard of anyone being trolled on LinkedIn. I've never really heard of anyone ever doing anything on LinkedIn. But, you know, you're not going to call yourself Trump knowingly on Twitter, are you, Maxine? Do you?
Yes, I do.
Do you?
I mean, I get contacted by the Trump campaign, and I've got contacted by a lot of people thinking, presuming that I'm voting for him. I mean, this is why I have to make the video, because everybody thinks I'm voting for him. Every time I have to say my last name, I kind of swallow my last name. It's
wow.
Really, really embarrassing. And it's, I mean, imagine being embarrassed by your last name. You don't want to say anybody says your calls, and you're having to say Maxine. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, so you're trying to take back the T word, man. Take back ownership of the T word.
Reclaim my name.
And
yeah.
So you did a little protest. Was it in New York?
We did. It was right in the center of New York. We had 4% of Trump show up. It was a motley little crew,
yeah.
But we made a lot of noise, and we trailed our way through the Manhattan streets, and we'd pick up Trumps along the way, and then we ended up...
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know why it made
me
laugh.
I mean, you know, the film owns the fact that we are also known as farts in the UK, you know, but no one over here knows that. I can't believe John Oliver, I can't believe anybody hasn't covered the fact that Trump is a fart. Yeah.
Wow. So, well.
I mean, I'm pleased.
Yeah, well, I guess that now I understand, because Maxine, how long have you been living in the States?
13 years.
13 years. Blimey, yeah. It is 13 years. By way of disclosure, I used to work with Maxine, okay, at BBC America, and you nearly got me fired many times. And I just thought I'd speak to you just this one last time to say goodbye. I haven't spoken to you for about 8 years. But I don't think I can forgive you for those terrible things that you did at work. Terrible things.
Right, thank you.
But
yeah.
is the fact that Trumping is not farting in the States instrumental in the fact that you've spent 13 years living over there? Is it just is it in a very literal sense for you a breath of fresh air?
It absolutely is. Can you imagine as a kid having to stand up in clubs in the UK and say your name's Maxine Trump and just being faced with a chorus of fart noises?
Mm. Yeah.
Not good.
No. So tell us.
I thought I was escaping my name coming over here, but alas, not.
Okay. So if people want to see the film, it's Trump's Against Trump, right? And they can find that on YouTube and stuff. Tell us, though, what's it like in America today? What does it feel like in New York? Because I remember people talking about 8 years ago when Obama got voted for. And I remember someone writing very moving on Facebook about seeing bunches of kids walking down the street in Brooklyn chanting Obama, Obama, and being really fired up and excited. What's it feel like this time around?
Terrifying, nerve-wracking, anxiety-ridden, sad but slightly happy because you think it could be a female president, but you're still so terrified. So there's so much anxiety. Everybody I've talked to, they're just anxious.
What percentage of you is sort of anti-Trump and what percentage of you is pro-Clinton? Like, are you a Clinton fan or is it just the fact that she's not Trump?
I'm a pro-Clinton fan.
You are.
I want a female president. Yeah.
And what's
I don't understand quite the vitriol that she received. Yes, she hid some emails, but Bush hid thousands and thousands of emails. You know, it's nothing new. Wake up and smell the coffee. This is what politicians do.
Wake up and smell the Trump. What's it like?
I gave you that one.
What you did, it was an open goal, and I just went for it. And I could have done something a lot more subtle, but I just stormed in there, didn't I? What's it like living in a country where you don't have a say? Like, presumably you can't vote there, right?
I can't vote. That's why I had to make the film, to be quite honest. I'm a filmmaker, and that's what I can do. Mm. I did the phone bank for Obama. For Clinton, I'm doing an anti-Trump film that has some humour and some levity, because there hasn't been enough. We're so fearful that there hasn't been a little bit of levity, and I'm going to give you this one too. So I had to blow off some steam.
Come on, even I'm not going to do anything with that one. And what's your prediction?
Oh, Hillary has to win. She has to win. I'm concerned about stories that I'm hearing that people are having issues trying to vote, and that really makes me afraid.
They're having Trump issues doing what? Sorry, say that again.
Trying to vote, actually being able to vote. Right. And that makes me very fearful, because that's what Trump was trying to suggest, that people should go to the voting places and be not necessarily rioting, but be there. Yeah. And it worries me.
Finally, how are you going to be spending tonight?
I've been invited to a ton of parties, and I just hope we can celebrate. I don't know what time we're going to find out the result, because Obama's result came through the night, so we'll just have to see how long this party goes on for. But I love your Trump sequence of the radio show. I think that's awesome, by the way.
That's very sweet of you. And the fact that you said awesome suggests you've been living in America for too long. Britain needs you back. Maxine Trump, it's been lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much.
And you, Jake.
And we'll speak soon.
Thanks so much.
Sooner than, like, not for 10 years or something. That was Maxine Trump live in New York and hoping for the best, which for her represents a Clinton win. I've got a thing that I really want to read out. I'll do it a bit later. But a woman called Pamela very generously gave her time to write a little piece about why she voted for Trump. And it's really interesting. And I feel like with particularly the media whipping it all up into this kind of big adversarial mano a mano contest, it's just interesting to hear a kind of reasoned, calm argument from someone that, you know, you may or may not agree with, but at least you can maybe explore some commonality of intent, if nothing else, right? I'm going to read that out a little bit later. We've also got an exclusive interview with Bill Clinton. I'm not even kidding. In the meantime, if you want to play Trump or Chump, it's 0344-499-1000. And we'll be back with more. Hooray! After this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Well, earlier we heard from the potential next First Lady of the United States, Melania Trump.
Quite hot.
Obviously, a very busy night for both camps, but I'm delighted to say that the potential first ever first gentleman of the USA joins me now, President Bill Clinton. Welcome to Talk Radio. I hope you're well. More to the point, how's Hillary feeling?
She's doing fine. She was even better last night before she went to sleep.
Oh, God. Did you?
She looked like $1 million this morning. I can tell she's feeling a lot better.
Well, that's good to know. So how do you feel the campaign's gone?
I have no idea.
You do, if you forgive my disrespect, look a bit gormless lately. Could you try to close your mouth a bit more when you're standing behind Hillary? Are you ill?
Yeah. We just moved in to the kind of the fall allergy season, which I feel too. She does well in the spring compared to me, but...
Did you just burp?
Correct.
Okay. Moving on. How do you see yourself? If things work out the way Hillary's planned and you end up moving back into the White House, have you thought about what your role there would be?
I should really be a first lady.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I could do that, I think.
Okay, that's very progressive. What kind of a first lady will former President Bill Clinton be?
So this is a new challenge for me, and it'll be a new role to define. There are lots of things I could do.
Definitely. Have you ever heard of pegging?
Clothes.
Yes, clothes, on a clothesline. Would you be happy doing the pegging and the domestic work in the White House?
Yeah. Affordable, achievable, and fairly straightforward. It's quite hot.
Okay, I think we should leave it there. Bill Clinton, with the image of you hanging out the washing in a minxy little French maid's outfit, thank you so much for your time. That was former President Bill Clinton. There now follows an advert for the podcast Jake Yap's Sunday Best in the style of a 1960s documentary.
Dawn breaks on an important day. Tribesmen gather to watch while the women begin making the podcast. The podcast will be baked in the sun until it's ready. Here we see women applying mud to the podcast to keep it cool. Even the children help. Here comes Jake Yap and Laura Shavin. Jake Yap and Laura Shavin go to the biggest hut in the village to record the podcast. The podcast is then marched 20 miles north to the internet. Once the podcast has been delivered, the villagers can relax and enjoy themselves. Jake Yap's Sunday Best, the podcast from Talk Radio, free of charge from your favourite podcast provider.
Yeah, there you go. Hello, it's Jake Yap here, in for Ian Lee. I normally do Sunday breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning with Laura Shavin. And we have a good time. You should check it out. And the podcast is, you know, well, it's there, isn't it? So we've heard from a lot of Clinton supporters, and it does look like Clinton will probably win tonight. But I wanted to share with you this statement. When she was a bit too reluctant to come on air. She's very shy. She lives very much kind of right in the middle of America. And... very graciously wrote a little sort of piece about why she was voting for Donald Trump. And so I wanted to share them with you because we need to understand each other, right? That's the whole point, surely. Rather than just retreating to our corners and saying, well, you smell. No, you smell. Let's try and grow up a bit. So this is what Pamela wrote. She said, here are some thoughts of mine as a woman, an American, and a Trump supporter. It's true. Trump supporters have been stereotyped. We also get mocked and accused of being racists, among other things. But we're used to it. It's very typical of the so-called tolerant left to be intolerant of those who do not agree with them or see things the way they do. That's the definition of a bigot. I think the American people are tired of lies made by politicians over the years and see a businessman in Trump. He's someone who's been successful with his own endeavors and money, a man who could really help turn this country around by putting we the people first. Our current administration does not do that. And I think Trump would run the government like a business instead of trying to control the people. Trump did not have to run for president. He has a very cush billionaire lifestyle that suits him well. Some would say he's doing it for power. That is silly. He has more power in his personal life than he could ever have as president of the US. Trump is running for president because of his love of country, his country, I guess, and the American people. Isn't it funny? He's lived a very public lifestyle for many years and was never accused of being a racist or a rapist. Only after running for president, opposing the elite left, did the false accusations start to fly by those who have been paid to play the game. Some think Trump is against immigration. This is not true. The man is currently married to an immigrant. His ex-wife and mother of his children is an immigrant. He's against illegal immigration, which tends to bring with it the criminal activity. This is a fact. Other countries have borders. Why can't we? But if I could list only one reason to give my vote to Trump over Hillary, it would be this. Hillary left our countrymen to die in Benghazi for her own political and monetary gain, funding her political position with money from Saudi Arabia, which is her biggest financial supporter. She is a criminal. Trump is not. You wouldn't believe how many edits I've made on this without coffee yet. Ha ha. It was quite lengthy. I cannot imagine how emotional I'd be if speaking rather than typing. I'm thankful for my peace comes from my faith in God. Have a wonderful day, Pam. Well, you know, I appreciate someone taking the time to explain, because I think it's just too easy. You know, with the little soundbitey bits that we've had on TV and stuff, you kind of want to hear a coherent argument. The Benghazi thing is happened in 2012. I think it was on September 11th. It was an attack on the embassy. Some people did die there. And Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State for Foreign Business or whatever it was. And so she kind of took the rap for it. So that's the source of that ire. But it's I don't know. It's an interesting thing. 03444991000 is the number to call if you would like to play Trump or Chump, where we read you a quote and you have to guess whether it's from Donald Trump or from some other chump. I've got some Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump trivia for you. I thought you might find quite interesting. This is some stuff I didn't know about the candidates. Did you know about Hillary Clinton, that shortly before she married Bill in 1975, she tried to join the Marines. I know! Probably to make a political statement. The Marine recruiter rejected her on the grounds that she was too old, couldn't see very well, and she is a woman. I suspect he's not working there anymore. In 1997, Hillary Clinton won a Grammy for Best Spoken Word Album for the audio of her book It Takes a Village. Well, Grammy Schmammy, because Donald Trump, here's some trivia for you about Donald Trump, he won an award too. He won a Razzie Award for Worst Supporting Actor for his cameo appearance as himself in the 1990 movie Ghosts Can't Do It. Some more fascinating trivia for you. In one of Hillary Clinton's first trials before a jury when she was a lawyer, she represented a canning company that had been sued by someone who claimed they found the rear end of a rat in a can. Though she won the case, she became the butt, if you'll excuse the pun, of her husband's jokes for years over what he called her rat's ass case. And perhaps that's the reason, final bit of trivia, the reason she puts hot sauce on everything, even salad, according to the Wall Street Journal. Hot sauce on salad. That's not right, is it? My God. 03444991000. Hot sauce on salad? I mean, really? Come on. Some more Donald Trump trivia for you, though. He doesn't drink. Doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't take drugs. And despite that, he launched his own brand of vodka in 2006, self-described as a superb product and beautifully packaged. Unfortunately, consumers didn't really agree, and production was halted in 2011 due to meager sales. Very sad. A very dark day for vodka and alcoholism everywhere. Trump also, he wrote that when he was in second grade, I love this, I punched my music teacher because I didn't think he knew anything about music. He gave the teacher a black eye and he said, I'm not proud of that, but it's clear evidence that even early on I had a tendency to stand up and make my opinions known in a very forceful way. So there you go. That's the guy who could be the president of the free world within a few scant hours. Happy days. If you'd like to try it, play Trump or Chump, give us a ring. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call. And we'll be back with more after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
It's ever so butch, that voiceover, isn't it? It's like way too butch. I'm not that butch.
Jake Yap, oh yeah. About to play rugby.
Hello, it's Jake Yap sitting in for Ian Lee. Going through till 1 o'clock tonight, then the two mics will carry on bringing you the results as they come trickling in. And we're kind of on the cusp now. It could be quite soon. We could know within the next half an hour, we could start getting some results coming through. So that's very exciting. Stay with us. And of course, as soon as they come through, we will let you know. Let's talk to Dale Forbis. He's in Houston, Texas. He's from KTRHAM. Good evening to you.
Hey, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much for talking to us. What's the mood like in Houston?
It's pretty weird back here. This has been an 18-month reality television show. I don't even think the people who swear total allegiance to certain candidates really believe it. We all kind of watch it with horror, waiting for somebody to say, hey, it's all a joke. Oh, we were just kidding. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, it is bizarre back here. I've never seen anything like it, and I'm really old.
I'm sure you're not. It is a bizarre election, isn't it? I mean, do you feel that it's kind of people are more voting for the person standing against the person that they really don't want more than voting actively for someone?
No, you bet. You're right on. I have been a reporter for a long time, and I kind of have a habit of making lists or checking things out. And I checked my Facebook posts, and only about the candidates over a certain period of time. And 92% of the Facebook posts among my friends were negative about the other guy and not saying positive things about theirs.
Wow.
So, I mean, 92%. I would have been, you know, in the past, you would have been surprised by maybe 60%. But it's always how bad the other guy is. I'm only for Hillary because Trump is so bad.
Yeah.
It's just to the point where it's almost depressing for me because I have to deal with that in my job as a news person every day.
Right.
I'm tired of hearing the negativity.
Yeah.
You know, this is a great day. Maybe somebody will shut up after today.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? What's the mood like? People are sort of talking about, obviously, like election parties and stuff. But, I mean, do people feel like partying or are they just kind of wanting to just hunker down and can peaches just in case the rain goes up?
I think so. I think you may be right. Yeah, I've not heard of that many election parties, at least here in Houston. There has been a lot of enthusiasm for getting out to vote. I mean, there will be more people voting in this election than in any other American election in history. We just heard some numbers about 30 minutes ago that the minority participation in East Coast elections, they were doing exit polling, and they found out that it was up from 32% to 39% of the people casting ballots. And, of course, that would be good for Hillary Clinton's side. But I don't sense a euphoria, you know, if that's what you're talking about. I don't know that people are just, oh, this is wonderful, fantastic, let's party, let's get drunk, our person's going to win. I sense it's more people biting their fingernails and worried about what's going to happen and kind of realizing that no matter what happens, they're not going to like it.
Yeah.
You know, even if your person wins, you may not like it.
Right.
So it's, I again say that I've never seen an election period like this. I figured what would happen would be that Donald Trump would wind up running as a third-party candidate like Ross Perot 20-some-odd years ago. Hmm. That's what I thought would happen. I was blown away when the Republicans picked him.
Yeah, I mean, that would, yeah, well, I think a lot of Republicans were, weren't they, within the party?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we have five living presidents in the United States, and all of them have, and what is it, three of them are Republican, yeah. And they have all said that they won't vote. I think my numbers are off there, by the way. But anyway, the Republicans have said that they will not vote for Trump, and that is an extreme stance.
Yeah.
You have never seen that in American politics in this century, last century, and maybe the one before that.
Well, that's the thing. We're talking to you in Houston, Texas, but the over in Dallas, the morning news, the paper there, they broke with their Republican traditions to advise their readership to vote for Clinton, didn't they?
They did. That is a new and impactful thing because they don't do that in this state very often. Traditions, people cling to their traditions. One of the big debates was that Clinton might have a chance to win Texas. I mean, they both carry, you know, the word is baggage. They both carry incredible baggage. There are incredible negatives. We're sitting here voting for candidates where one has a 59% negative rating among the voters, and the other one has a 65%. But those are unheard of numbers. I'm speechless to even explain them. How did they get to this point? Doesn't mean that they're not capable people. I don't think Donald Trump is as big a threat toward creating a World War III as many people think he is.
Yeah.
I think he's an egomaniac, but a very successful man. Mm. Hopefully he will surround himself with quality people if he wins. And I just don't think Hillary Clinton could be as evil as everybody tells me she is if she was trying to be that evil.
Yeah.
So, I've gotten to the point where I'm not sure that I know what the reality is for either of those candidates, and I'm not rooting for either one of them. I'm maybe an apocalypse or an Armageddon, that might help.
Yeah. Well, a
stray meteor.
What's it been like?
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Please, wait, listen. I'm an idiot, so you can't go wrong here. I was going to ask you, in Texas, obviously it's a state that's very much affected by Donald Trump's pledge to build the wall. It would be along the bottom of Texas, among other states, presumably. How has that been received in Texas as an idea?
It's a very conservative state here, and the issue of illegal immigration is a major issue in Texas. And I think a significant portion of the population wishes that the wall would be built. But I also think most people think, well, you know, the reaction is that'll never happen. Yeah. You know, it's a project that wouldn't really solve the problem. So it's again kind of a mixed emotion. I do think that people in Texas, as opposed to say people in Minnesota, do see the immigration problem as a major, major, major problem.
Yeah.
I have friends up in the northern United States who just kind of chuckle and say, "What are you all that worried about?" But I have not seen. I mean, you know, I am a single person, but the woman who has been in my life for the last 5 years is from a Latin nation, from Colombia. So now, while we don't have a border with them, I don't particularly, you know, I'm not going to have a problem with Latin people being around me.
Yeah.
But there are people, and you know, when you discuss it in that vein, it is very definitely a racist attitude to not want people who are different than you around you, and I think that is felt by many people in Texas.
But a lot of people supporting Trump would say that, you know, this isn't about racism. It's because we had exactly this debate in our country with the whole Brexit voting thing, where people were saying,
right,
this is not about the fact that there are different races. It's the fact that we don't have room to accommodate any more people.
Well, that's true. I mean, when we have places near the border who are to accept people who have come across the border, and they are set up to handle 200 a day, which is a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they're encountering 700 people a day. They're just being overwhelmed. They have no idea where to put the people. The minute people cross the border, they're herded off into a room and told how to apply for benefits like Social Security and things like that. And quite frankly, I don't know that I think the country can afford that. I mean, I guess you shouldn't start talking about money when you're also talking about humanity. Mm. But it is a it is reality of life that our company right now deficit spends every year. I mean, I'm not sure how long that can go on. So I think we need to at least take a studied approach to the question. The problem with immigration is the most responses on either side of the issue are emotional and not necessarily educated or you know, more studied and more, you know, figuring out an actual solution. People want to yell rather than discuss.
I sort of wonder if, in terms of what Donald Trump is talking about, in terms of sort of solidifying the borders, making them completely sort of impermeable and shutting everything down and becoming almost a sort of island nation. It's almost like a kind of, is he proposing like North Korea but with McDonald's? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think he's more cynical than that. I think he spotted a hot button that he could get a reaction out of the electorate, and he chose that position.
Right.
Whether or not Donald Trump is really against immigrants or not, that I kind of doubt.
Yeah.
My problem with Donald Trump is not that he is a racist, but rather that he enables racists.
I mean, him and Kim Jong-un have quite a lot in common, right? I mean, the nutty hairstyle.
Yeah.
Like, they've both got that. The sort of narcissism. I mean, it's all there, right?
Yeah, but Donald Trump has a beautiful wife, and we don't know where Kim Jong or where the North Korean leader's wife is. So who knows what she looks like now? They do have a lot in common, and you know, I hear more worries about Hillary Clinton establishing a military state than about Donald Trump, though. Of course, maybe it's because Texas is so Republican. But everybody's worried that they're going to eliminate the First Amendment, control the media, eliminate the Second Amendment, come not only keep you from buying guns, but come get your guns. We worry about all of these things, and I don't know, maybe we shouldn't worry about them until they start to happen. And maybe that's how the Nazis took over in Germany. You know, I don't know, but it's not...
Yeah,
it's very difficult for a president to take away your Second Amendment rights. I'm not sure she could.
I think that's
kind of a straw man. You know, that's something to worry about that can never happen. Kind of the same thing with he's. You know, here's the deal, Jake. He's a goof. When we talk about Donald Trump, we talk about a goof.
Yeah.
He's the guy that you laughed at when you went out and got drunk on Friday night.
Yes.
You know, and then 10, 20 years later, he's a billionaire and you're trying to go to work for him.
But we've all done that.
But that doesn't keep him from being a goof.
Yeah.
I don't have a horse in this race. I don't see either one of them as a solution.
Do you feel in a way that deep down, Donald Trump perhaps is slightly more aware of how much of a goof he is than potentially Clinton?
Yes. Oh, I guarantee you that's true. Yes, that's true.
And for that reason, in a way, he might not be quite as rash as people think he's going to be. Is that
possible? You cannot possibly become a billionaire without being relatively intelligent.
He did go bankrupt three times. I would make that point.
Yeah, he did, but he made it back.
That's true.
If anything, some people only made their billions once. Berkshire Hathaway fellow made his billions one time. Donald Trump did it three or four times. I think he's a socially awkward, intelligent man who has a brain that was wired for financial success. And I don't know that that has anything to do with being a successful politician. But I don't think he's going to insult Putin and cause World War III either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, well,
yeah.
The American people are resilient. The president can't do everything on his or her own. He has to get Congress to work with him.
Right.
So, the government is set up in a brilliant way. Unfortunately, the people we have in it aren't all that capable right now. But the structure of the American Republic is good, and that protects us from crazy people, supposedly.
The last question, I guess, is if Clinton wins, and it looks like she probably will, what will the 150 million angry gun-wielding supporters be doing?
I may have some really good stories to cover here in the next few weeks.
You might do, huh?
I'm not, you know, I've lived in Texas for 4 years now, and I've never actually owned a gun. But we do have a gun store here who is friendly with our radio station, and the owner has volunteered to set me up with target practice and my gun and all this kind of stuff. And I told him, you know, I'm afraid if they come after me 50 at a time, one gun won't do that much good. Yeah. I'm speaking tongue in cheek mostly. The American people will scream bloody murder, and if Clinton wins, they'll probably scream for 4 years about how terrible she is. Yeah. But violence, it could happen, but if it does, I think it will be isolated.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to just have, 4,000 people marching on Washington, D.C., or I'm sorry, 400,000 people marching on Washington, D.C. I don't think that'll happen.
It remains to be seen. It will be very interesting to see how it all pans out. Dale, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. Keep your fingers crossed for us.
Thank you. Have a peaceful night. That was Dale Forbis in Houston, Texas. We've got the news coming up.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk radio.
Very good evening. It's Jay Capp in for Ian Lee. In the next hour, we're going to be going off to the US Embassy for the party. We're going to be doing some, well, I'm not going to lie to you, some erotic fiction based on a new coalition in the White House, an altogether new kind of coalition. But first, let's catch up with the latest news headlines.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
A hurl upon a hurl, a hurl, a hurl, a hurl, a hurl.
Good morning. This is the day. This is the day we find out the result of the US presidential election. This is the one, folks. It's exciting stuff, isn't it? It's Jake Yap in for Ian Lee tonight until 1 o'clock. Then the two mics will carry on, bring you the results as they come in. ABC News in the States, they've projected the following results. They're saying that Kentucky is projected to vote for Trump. That's not a surprise. Vermont is projected to vote for Clinton. That's not a surprise. And Indiana is projected to vote for Trump. This is a massive surprise. I'm kidding. It's not a surprise. No surprises so far. But I think we can all agree it's a great night for democracy and gun ownership. Terrible, terrible news from California. Good morning. Let's talk to Alex Dibble. He is in the US Embassy in London, and he has Charlie Wolf with him. Hello there.
Hi, Jake. Are you well?
Yes, I'm all right. How are you doing? I get tired of parties, man. You've been at that party for, 3 hours or something now?
Yeah, I've been here about 3 hours. It's just getting going. The night is young, Jake.
That's too much for a party. I got a three-year-old. As far as I'm concerned, parties should last for an hour and a half. And then it should end with everyone being sick and bursting into tears and going home. That could still happen at your party, I suspect.
I suppose it could. We'll see what happens. I'll keep an eye on it. But as you said, I'm here with Charlie Wolf, the Republican political commentator. Charlie, just want to get your reaction to those first couple of states that are coming in. I guess no surprises so far.
No, not really. No.
But in the next sort of half an hour or so, we're going to get some key swing states,
aren't
we?
Yeah, I'd be looking at Florida. I'd be looking at Ohio. I'd be looking at Pennsylvania. You'll start to get an idea of where things are going. By the way, it's a shame. I can own guns while I'm here because this is U.S. soil. But then again, it's a secure area, so I can't have my guns with me. But, if I had my gun, it would sort of be here.
Okay. And do you have one in the U.K.?
No, I don't. Oh, no. Okay. But I have that Second Amendment. And that is important. And I carry it with me wherever I go.
Indeed. What are the chances that you think Donald Trump is going to be able to win the White House? It doesn't look good for him in the sense of the large Hispanic turnout in Florida we're hearing, and potentially he's just got fewer routes to the White House than Clinton, doesn't he?
Well, the Republicans have always had a bit of a disadvantage because of the system with the Electoral College and the states that, some states are particular to certain candidates. Like, I'm from Massachusetts, so my vote, it will count towards the popular vote, which is more just gives a state of feeling. But, I remember when Nixon ran, I think the second time around, he took 49 states. And the only one that didn't go Nixon in, it was at 72, was Massachusetts. So, the land of the Kennedys. So I don't know why I even show up. But, I register my feelings. But if you watch those different states, I think we'll get an idea. Also, I still think there's, and I've heard reports, there's a lot of people that are voting Trump that are not saying they're voting Trump to the exit polls or to the media, because first off, they'll say it's none of your damn business, which rightfully it isn't. Also, they're scared. You know, so they'll say we're Hillary supporters. So, you know, don't necessarily trust the polls. We've seen it here with Brexit. We've seen it here with past elections. You know, you think of this last election when supposedly it was going to maybe be, Labor was going to supposedly get in, and then it was, well, it's still going to be a coalition. And, you know, Clegg was you know, convinced. Actually, I think Clegg was probably lying just to you know,
okay.
If we make it feel like it's a coalition, it'll be a coalition. And it turned out that the Conservatives were in power.
So you're a Republican political commentator, Republican. Do you actively support Donald Trump, or do you support the Republican Party, or both?
It's a little bit of both. I mean, I am a Republican. I'm more, first and foremost, I'd say I'm a conservative. That said, he's not really a conservative. He's more of a populist. But I'm taking the view of this is what the people seem to want. And, you know, as much as I kind of travel and, you know, go along with the people at National Review and people like Krauthammer and what have you, you know, real technically conservative people, sometimes you have to kind of put some of it a little bit aside and meet the needs of the people. You know, the people are crying.
And you think he's doing that?
Oh, obviously he is. You know, you look at the size of the following he has. This is a guy that's come out of nowhere already. He had some name recognition, but, you know, he's an entertainer. He's not a politician. But he was able to put this coalition behind him, or this movement behind him, and he knows, you know, that the people aren't happy. There's a lot of people that are saying we're working our tootsies off, and we're not making any more money. You know, Mr. Obama is doing a lousy job with the economy, and he'll sit there with a straight face and say how wonderful it is. Oh, look at all the jobs I've created. What he doesn't tell you, when you look at unemployment, is remember, this is based on those who are in the job market. So when he says, employment's at such and such a percent, well, there's a large amount of people that have just given up work, you know, looking for work. They're not counted. So, you know, you have to, you know, the people that are on the coal face of all this, they know who's not working.
I've heard many people say, look, regardless of who wins this election, Trump has won this election.
Yeah.
Because even if he loses and Hillary Clinton gets into the White House, Trump's policies and the way he has forced the political discussion means that he will still emerge the victor.
Yeah.
Do you subscribe to that view?
I do. You know, for a long time we've had this sort of feeling of suddenly the majority is now the new minority. You know, because you're just you're simply a middle-aged white guy, you don't count. And, you know, listen, I don't want a system where one's at the expense of the other. I really want to see everybody lifted up. I'd like to see, you know, the African-American community and Hispanic communities. I mean, this is what America's all about. You know, my parents and grandparents came to the States with nothing, and they worked it all up, you know, to where, you know, all my cousins are generally lawyers, there's doctors, you know, they've had good lives because of our parents. I want to see the same for these other communities. So when you get lines like, you know, what was it, you know, clinging to their guns and religion, well, you know, religion's a very important thing in the United States, and it's I think it's fared us well. And guns, that's a constitutional right. And it's an important right. You know, I won't go into it now, but it's more than just the ownership of guns. It's a reaffirmation of who holds the power in the United States. So when you get that, or you get Eric Holder, you know, we've just elected a black president and the first black attorney general, and Holder says that we're cowards on race. You know, so I think the people just finally got sick of it and said, you know, enough. It's Howard Beale. You know, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Many people in the UK, you live in the UK, so you'll be able to appreciate that so many people here just can't get their heads round what Donald Trump stands for and why he's getting so much traction, particularly on things like guns. People in the UK have never really understood the US situation with that.
I'll never understand your situation with the NHS, so I guess we're even.
In the next half an hour, as we've said, some key swing states are going to come in. If Trump loses Florida, there's no way he can win the White House, is there, really, realistically?
Probably. I have to admit, that's, you know, the statistics is just not me. You know, the people that play, like, you know, the political game of carrying wisdom around, I'm not as up on that game. You know, I'm more of the sort of cerebral, ethereal. You know, what again, attracts me is I think that we need someone that's going to give the system a good kick up the backside. And, you know, I worked for Kelvin McKenzie, you know, for a while when he was running this parish, when he was the vicar in charge. And I remember him you know, going in a meeting with the program controller at the time, and he was, you know, it was swearing up, you know, it was about a commercial. Whoever it was going to overprice. He says, "You can call him bleep, 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 bleep," and then he says, "Tell him that Kelvin McKenzie said you can go bleep, 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 bleep." And I hope I'm not embarrassing Kelvin. Forgive me if I am, Kelvin. But he looks around at me, almost a little embarrassed. He says, "Oh, I'm awfully sorry." I said, "No," I said, "I've learned more in the last 30 seconds from watching you than I would have got at 4 years of Harvard."
And you're going to say the same about Donald Trump, are you?
Yeah, you know, listen, you need someone that knows how to negotiate, and sometimes you have to be strong. And you can't be walked over. But it also involves bringing people together. You know, why is it that here's a guy that's worth, what, 10, 12 billion, and he relates to the working class, to the blue collar? Whereas Mitt Romney was worth a measly, what, 250 million? I mean, nothing, chump change.
Yeah.
And they consider him, sort of this rich kid that, you know, you just can't relate to. Trump has a way, as a businessman, of bringing people together. You know, he has to work with unions, contractors.
Why do people still think that someone worth $12 billion, or £12 billion, or whatever it is representing the man on the street? Do they genuinely think he's going to get in the White House, if he does get in the White House, and suddenly represent people he's never represented in his entire life?
Oh, but he has represented them. Because, again, he has to work with the union. He's putting up buildings. He has to work with unions. He has to work with city planners. He has to work with state officials and foreign governments, the guys in the construction. You know, this is a guy that will probably go on a site and be sitting up on, you know, the 30th floor of an unfinished building, chatting to the guys. And, you know, he understands that, you know, and you know, even this thing with reaching out to the African-American audience. Now, a lot of people at first said, oh, you know, he's doing this just to reassure white women, educated white women. Maybe there was a bit of that. But, you know, I listened to him, and it sounds of sincerity in him, you know. I don't know if he's going to do a great job or not, but at least he's, you know, he seems to have the chutzpah to take it on head on, to sit there and say, you know, I think you guys have been dealt a bad hand.
Charlie,
yes, sir.
If I can just jump in, just listening to what you're saying, it's all really interesting, and you've talked about Trump as being a man who's unified people, but I mean, critics would say, I mean, he's torn the country apart. I mean, he's torn his own party apart, hasn't he?
Well, you know,
when you've got Republican officials saying, don't vote Republican.
The reason is, remember, he is anti-establishment. So this is actually a very nonpartisan issue. He's being hated by every institution. This is like Brexit. And I told people when Brexit was being debated to really be wary when you had all these different institutions and you had all of government, you know, all the parties all ganging up together and saying this is bad. You know, watching Patty Ashton, he used to drive me crazy. You see him in a debate, and he's going to Liam Fox. Now, Liam, just name me one international organization, OECD, the United Nations, the World Bank. Name me one that's not in favor of Brexit. And I sat there and think, well, wait a minute. I don't care what they think.
Yeah.
You know, this is Britain. This is, and I hold two passports, so I can say this is our country. Well, that's what these people are relating to. And I think the Bushes, the Clintons, and I like the Bushes, by the way. But, you know, this is old-style establishment. They're not necessarily pilfering the system, but they're on a good thing. And the rest of the people are saying, wait a minute, enough of the let-them-eat-cake situation. We're not being noticed.
But
and he's leading that brigade.
He certainly has harnessed that sentiment. But what happens if Trump wins? And after his promise, I heard him give a speech either last night or the night before when he said, this is your chance to make all your dreams for your country come true. He can't do that. I mean, it's just not possible, is it?
We remember.
So what happens when he fails?
Well, remember, also to an American, you're talking aspirational. We are a country of aspiration. I didn't see the speech, so it's kind of hard for me to comment. But I guess maybe this is one of the things where we're, what is it, you know, we speak, to two cultures separated by a common language.
Ha.
You know, there may be a hint of that. There's certain things he's not going to accomplish. I don't know if the wall is going to go up. You know, don't forget, and maybe this is going to be a learning experience for Trump. He is not going to be the CEO. You know, well, he will be the CEO, but the board of directors are the Congress. We have a system where you have checks and balances and three co-equal branches of government. You know, that'll be a wake-up call for him, but I think he'll learn how to deal with it.
Do you think another Republican candidate could have been stronger. I was really interested in The Guardian today, Jonathan Friedland. He blamed the other Republican hopefuls for beating each other down because they wanted to be the only candidate standing opposing Trump.
And we've done this constantly. You know, Mitt Romney, look at what he went through. You know, and it's a shame because Mitt Romney was probably the best president we've never had. I mean, the guy is highly educated, highly moral. I don't know Mitt Romney personally, but I have several very, very close friends who know him and grew up with him, you know, and they're part of a very close-knit set of friends. So I know what Romney is made of, and he's a good man and an honest man and a man of character. But, you know, they beat the hell out of him. And you know, I think the party needed a wake-up call. And if anything, you can at least say that maybe Trump has given him that chance. Because, yeah, win or lose, this party has to change and kind of get its act together and unify. And we're still waiting for another Reagan. It's like, you know, maybe it's the Republican second coming, you know, waiting for that man that'll walk down and the light will shine behind his head in Shining City on a Hill. But at present, I think we do need a man that's going to drain the swamp and give the system a good kick up the backside.
Okay. We have to leave it there, gentlemen. Thank you both so much for talking to us tonight. Alex, keep drinking and try and steal something. I'm only kidding. And Charlie Wolf, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thanks.
Really appreciate it. There we are, live from the US Embassy. After the break, we're going to be talking to Kathy Phillips live from Alaska.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Yes, good morning. It's Jake Yap in for Ian Lee for one night only for the elections special. Two mics will be here from 1 o'clock and the results will really start coming rolling in. Then, apparently, the projected results in South Carolina, which voted Republican in the last 9 elections, they were expecting to have those results quite soon, but apparently it's too close to call, which is kind of interesting and has not particularly good implications for Donald Trump. We will, of course, keep you posted on any developments in any states with any of the results. But let's now go all the way over to Anchorage in Alaska, where Kathy Phillips is joining us. She's the co-anchor of Newsday AM on KFQD. Good evening. Are you there? Is she there? She's there. She's not there. Hang on. I need to put her on the thing, don't I? See, this is what happens when you have locum presenters. Here we go. Hello.
Hello.
There we go. No, I did it again. I'll do it. There we go.
Hello.
Sorry, that was me being an incompetent presenter there. Unlike you.
Oh, that's quite all right.
It happens.
No, I've had my share of technical difficulties, so have don't you? Be very sweet.
Well, no, we'll have a meeting afterwards and I'll fall on my sword. And, you know, I tell you what, I guarantee you I won't be here this time tomorrow. Just because it's not my show, so, you know, I'm just sitting in for someone. So, Anchorage, Alaska, I mean, to start with, I'm fascinated by it. I got to confess, when I was a kid, I watched Northern Exposure, and I thought it was the best thing ever, which probably is not very representative.
There are bits and pieces of Northern Exposure that actually are based in reality.
Really?
Yes.
Which bits? The moose?
Well, there's moose everywhere. I just actually saw two of them on my way into to vote this morning on my way into work.
Are you actually serious? That's amazing.
Every time I walk out my door, I look over my shoulder to make sure the moose aren't going to get me because they will stomp you to death.
Oh, wow. That sounds sounds like so much of this election. What's it like? Because Alaska, they get, what is it, something like 4 votes in the overall electoral vote system?
We get 3 electoral votes.
Oh, 3.
And traditionally, Alaska is a very Republican state. Now, when it first became a state back in 1959, it was very Democratic. The Republican that kind of came to be once the pipeline opened up, the Trans-Alaska oil pipeline opened up, and a lot of oil workers from Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas came up, and then they stayed here. Also, then we've had since then an expansion of our military bases, and a lot of the military tend to vote Republican. Because we also here in Alaska have the Alaska Permanent Fund dividend, which every year, if you've been here for a full calendar year and you intend to stay in Alaska, you get a share of the state's oil wealth. This last year's checks were just over $1,000. A lot of military people get stationed in Alaska. They decide that they want to retain residency here. So they continue to vote here, and because they're military, they can still claim the permanent fund dividends. So that kind of unfairly skews more towards Republican than I think actually we really are.
Right. Okay. The sort of mainstay of people. And what? How did you end up in Alaska? Have you always been in Alaska?
No, actually, I moved up here with my first ex-husband.
Your first ex-husband.
And my first ex-husband, and then I divorced him, and then I got remarried and divorced him. Yeah. They both moved out of state, and I'm still here where the kids are. Right. So,
any more prospective ex-husbands, or are you going to stop now?
It's funny. I was just telling a friend of mine today. I've got just really bad taste in men. So I think I'll stick with cats for right now.
Kathy, don't blame yourself. Blame the men. Blame the men.
I do.
Good. What's it feel like on election day? This is a question I've been asking everyone, really, which is, you know, is it the sort of celebratory kind of feeling, or does it feel a bit different this time around?
You know, we have had, so far, a record number of early voters. We had over 34,000 people, and that was the last count they gave us early yesterday afternoon. Those were people that went in early and cast their ballots. Generally, it seems like a lot of the early voters tend to be democratically voting people, but it's really kind of hard to tell. It's been kind of a mixture of excitement and dread. I think that there's a lot of people who are thinking that this election could turn Alaska into more of a purple state instead of a red state. Chances of us going all three electoral votes for Hillary Clinton are pretty, pretty slim, but she might be able to pick up enough that it could turn purple. Or there is a possibility that our two national offices, U.S. Senate and U.S. House of Representatives, those could, in theory, go to Democratic or independent contenders.
Right.
Probably not, but there is a lot of excitement on social media of people thinking that yes, it is a potential that we could go purple and split the vote.
Right. So this is so you've got the vote for the president, but then you've got the vote for your representative in the Senate, and that could go.
Yeah.
Towards the Democrats.
Yeah, and if the Senate vote actually, if Lisa Murkowski, the Republican incumbent, does not get reelected, it could go to a Libertarian vote. The Libertarian candidate said he would vote with Republicans if elected. We also have a strong independent and Democratic challengers, and both of them had said if they were elected, they would vote for or vote with Democrats in Congress. So if either those two get elected, and some other states that have hotly contested Senate races flip, the balance of power in the U.S. Senate could drastically change. And so that could have almost a bigger bearing on what happens to the next president, be it Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. If you get Hillary Clinton with a majority Republican Senate and House, they're going to continue trying to obstruct her. Several senators have already said they don't want to, they just won't confirm any future Supreme Court nominees or any cabinet members, which is pretty obstructionist, and some people say that it is illegal and that would be grounds for impeachment for those people. But if the balance shifts to the Democrats and Donald Trump is elected, well, then he's going to have an uphill battle, whatever he tries to do.
Yeah. And which way do you think it's going to go?
You know, it to me, it seems like it's probably going to be Hillary Clinton is going to win the presidency. Here in Alaska, we're probably going to end up with Lisa Murkowski in the U.S. Senate and Donald Trump in the U.S. House of Representatives. However, our state legislature, we've got our entire state house is up for reelection, and half of the state senate is up for reelection. Over the past 20 years or so, it's been mainly Republican-led. Alaska now, for the fourth year in a row, is facing a $3.5 billion budget deficit, and there's been a lot of anti-incumbent campaigning going on, and a lot of people saying, well, I'm going to vote for Trump. But these guys have gotten us into this terrible situation. Oil companies are pulling jobs out of the state. They're not spending the exploration money. We're going to vote for an independent or somebody different. So real race to watch here in Alaska, because our polls don't close for another 4.5-5 hours. And so once those close, we're already going to know pretty much who the president is.
Right.
Then we'll figure out who's going to be you know, representing us on the national in Congress. But our real nail biter here is what is going to happen to the makeup of the legislature. Is it going to stay in the Republican control, or is it going to flip to the Democrats?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be a mixture of the two? We did have a coalition government back when Sarah Palin served her very short term as governor before she quit.
Yes.
And they actually did get a few things accomplished that were actually very good for the state economy. Then, of course, she quit. Her lieutenant governor, Sean Parnell, took over, and that's when we really started having problems as far as budgetary here in the state. Yeah.
And how are you going to be spending the evening?
Once I finally finish up here at the radio station, I am going to go spend a little quality time with my cats and then probably go down to one of my favorite bars and hang out with a few friends and have a few drinks and just know that we're there for each other no matter what.
That's adorable. Yes, it's a good night for being with your cat. I shall go and do that later, hopefully. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us this evening. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jake. Anytime.
Thanks a lot. That was Kathy Phillips from KFQD in Anchorage, Alaska, where they really do have mice. I don't know. We'll be back. We'll chat to the two mics after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Morning. It's Jake Yap in for Ian Lee for one night only. Of course, this is a bit of a unique night, isn't it? Ohio are saying it's too close to call yet. Let's have a look. West Virginia has gone to Trump. And according to Curtis Ellis, a senior Trump advisor, everything is proceeding according to plan. The fact that that slightly sounds like something from a really bad World War II movie from a German soldier is I'm just saying everything is proceeding according to plan. I'm not, you know, making allusions. I'm just saying, it's funny, isn't it? So that's 5 electoral votes from West Virginia that go to Trump. That takes the total so far to Hillary Clinton on 3 and Donald Trump on 24. But there's an awful lot of them still to come. It's something like 500 and something in total. So lots to come in yet. I'm sort of disappointed on a personal note that, you know, I feel like I'm sort of just the warm-up, really, the warm-up act for the main event, because the results are going to start coming in from 1 o'clock with the two mics who will be here. They'll come and talk to us in a minute. In the meantime, Ray has called 0344-499-1000. Good morning.
Good morning. What were you talking about, the name Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump?
We were, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? Do you reckon, in your opinion, Donald Trump is going to win?
I did think that for a few days, and then I sort of had to look more at the electoral college collegiate system and saw the way it's all kind of cut up.
I've got a feeling that Donald Trump is going to win, because a lot of people in America like people who are bold and brash. Don't you think that's true?
I think that's a good point. I think there's a lot of people who have been too embarrassed or nervous about declaring their support for Trump in all the opinion polls too.
I reckon America's going to become the most racist country in Western.
That's a really good question. It's not really for me to say, is it? What do you think? Do you think it is?
I think it is, because you know, in fact, I think that Hillary Clinton says she's going to help illegal immigrants get into the country.
Is that what she said?
Well, that's what she said. She says she's going to try and help them become American citizens.
The interesting thing is, have you heard of the thing called the Overton window?
No, what is the Overton window?
It's this idea that you've got like the whole spectrum of politics, right? So you've got the far left and the far right,
yeah,
and everything in between. And there's a there's a window of kind of acceptable political beliefs to have, right? And that's a bit somewhere in the middle between the far left and the far right of kind of generally accepted stuff. And the Overton window, he had this theory that it can move with different political parties and movements and figures. They can actually nudge this window of what's acceptable politically to the left or to the right. And I think it is interesting to ask yourself, well, with Donald Trump being in the running, what's he done to the Overton, to the sort of the acceptable spectrum of political beliefs that you can have in the States?
I know. I remember him saying that he doesn't like political correctness. Do you think political correctness is like destroying like people's lives? I don't know.
I don't know. It hasn't destroyed mine.
People say personal correctness is like getting in people's way, and I don't know.
How do you feel about it? Do you think we're too politically correct?
I mean, a lot of people have said that we're too politically correct in this country.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think we are quite a little bit, aren't we?
Yeah, I guess we are. And you can feel the backlash to that's already happening, isn't it? People have already sort of said they've had enough of all of that.
They've had enough of following political correctness, like they're scared to say what they want to say.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump is not really afraid to say what he wants to say.
Yeah. How do you feel about Donald Trump? Do you think we should be able to grab women by the... Never mind. Do you think we're too politically correct? Are you with Donald on this one?
He said we're too politically correct. I mean, I agree what he was saying about... you know, like the illegal immigrants coming to America, like the Mexicans, like they're coming in illegally. They're not coming in like the right channel.
So he's tapped into something that resonates with you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Would you have voted Trump if you were in the States?
Not really. I think I'll vote for Clinton because what he was saying that all Mexicans are drug dealers and like rapists.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty extreme stuff, isn't it? Kind of hard to get behind that, perhaps. Ray, thanks very much for your call. 0344 499 1000 is the number to call if you'd like to join in. Also, if you want to play our funny little game, Trump or Chump, where we have some quotes and you have to guess whether they're from Donald Trump or some other chump. From 1 o'clock here on Talk Radio, we've got the two mics. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hi. What a night.
Well, what a night. Exactly right. A night of history, a night of unpredictability. And, you know, we've got a few results in already. We're probably at 1 o'clock as we start. We'll start to see.
You get the proper meaty show. We'll you got the proper one, don't you?
Yeah, we'll get Pennsylvania, we'll get Virginia. I mean, all the indicators.
Well, about 4 a.m., I think you should probably know which way it's heading, you know, who's going to be the next president of the United States. We'll be very close, as Mike and I were saying. Remember the last one with the hanging chads in Florida, where was it, how long did it take for the George Bush election
to be sorted?
It was a long time because they had to just keep recounting. They've done away with those particular problems.
Trump,
of course, has vowed that he's not willing necessarily to accept the decision if he doesn't win. Mm. And he's been filing lawsuits all over the place. He's been saying that in Nevada, for example, they were allowing people to vote too early. In other parts of the country, he's having them all thrown out. But he's showing that he's basically not going to give up if, in fact, he doesn't.
Well, he's basing that on the FBI investigation. Mm. He can't understand why that's been scrapped, you know, 3 days before the election takes place. Because when you look at the detail of the investigation and what Mrs. Clinton is accused of doing, rather more not in criminality, but just neglect as Secretary of State, it's going to open a real can of worms, no matter who gets
in. It's definitely a nation divided.
Absolutely.
If you thought Brexit was going to be, you know, in some way divisive. I mean, this is much worse,
But then again, there's like two court cases pending for Donald Trump in December, aren't there?
Yeah, but those are just regular kind of financial fraud type cases, which he's been fighting
all his life. Hundreds of those over the years.
Oh, that old chestnut.
You know, he'll slither his way out of those, no doubt. Because
who hasn't done that?
Yeah, but the problem is whether or not the people who have been sort of galvanised to vote for him and to get into the political process because they think the system has to change will actually respond in a violent way if, in fact, he loses, because there are some who believe they will.
Yeah, that's
I see today they were parking like truckloads full of sand all around Trump buildings in New York,
and
when he arrived and all that. And that is because they actually fear insurrection on the streets, because that's how fanatical some of his supporters are.
At the Hilton in New York City. It's like an armed camp. Literally, you know, like there's more machine guns there than there are probably in most of this country.
And then you had the Trump supporters saying, I saw someone on the news this morning saying, a woman saying, well, we'll just have to take the White House. We'll come to the White House and we'll be armed.
Yeah.
If Trump doesn't win.
You know, and I mean, don't forget, there's a lot of guns in America. So, I mean, it's kind of a scary prospect. We're going to be doing mostly the political stuff tonight. Hopefully, there won't be anything else to do. Yeah. But we'll be going across to Clinton's headquarters. We'll go into Trump's headquarters in New York.
Fantastic.
You know, we've got the swing states coming in. We've got people there as well. We've got somebody who I think you've been talking to over at the American Embassy Party in London.
Yeah.
We've got a comedian coming in to talk about it, some stuff as well. So it's going to be a packed show.
Fantastic. Mm. Amazing. Well, this is the night, isn't it?
It is.
Absolutely.
It is. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Enjoy it for what it is. What a spectacle. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that the fate of the entire world rests on it, it'd be jolly entertaining, wouldn't it? But there you go. Now, coming up after the break, there's no delicate way to put this. I've written some filth. Only because the last time I sat in for Ian Lee... just for want of anything better to do, I brought in some erotic prose, a sort of bedtime story for you all to, you know, think about in your sleep, tossing and turning. But I've written a sort of election themed piece of erotica. I haven't run it by Kath, the producer, but maybe she can skim it while we have this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Jake Yap on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Hello. It's Jake Yap here until 1 o'clock, sitting in for Ian Lee. Ian will be back tomorrow from 10 o'clock, business as usual, while the world burns. But in the meantime, it's lovely to be here with you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for your company. I do appreciate it. It's been a really, really lovely evening. No more callers for... Trump or Chump. You could still call us 0344 499 1000. It's the fun game everyone's talking about. And you could win
some points.
No cars.
Some points. Yes, and the high score was what?
Two. So it would be everything quite easy to win. Yeah.
Play for there.
And we're going to make someone a millionaire tonight. That bears no relation to that competition or anything like that. I don't know.
But get a million love points.
I'm obsessed with the Trinity Broadcast Network. Do you ever watch that?
No.
It's an American televangelism channel.
Right.
And there's a guy on it who preaches called...
Is it like sort of God Babe Station?
It's exactly that. He's called Rod Parsley. I mean, you had to become a man of God with a name like that, didn't you? I mean, you're having your faith tested. But anyway, I saw him... doing a thing. The anointing was very strong, and he was in this church, and he had a guy from the congregation coming up, and he said, say the word million.
Oh.
And this guy goes, million. He says, say it again, million. And the guy goes, million. He says, million. And he says, God has made 100 millionaires in the US tonight.
God did.
And they all applauded.
Wow.
I thought, well, it's as easy as that. You know, just keep going, mate. Anyway, I'm obsessed with it. I love Trinity Broadcast Network.
What number is that?
Oh, 666 on Sky. No, I don't know what it is, but it's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating to watch. Unlike anything you've ever seen before. It looks like Trump is doing not bad in a few counties in Florida, just to let you know. Mm. We will keep you posted on the rest of it. In the meantime, should we do this? Let's do this. Ed, are you there, Ed? Have you got some sexy music for us? Have you?
I mean, this is what people wanted. We were offering them, I don't know, incisive political
analysis,
commentary and that, but...
Updates as they come in.
They just want filth.
But what they really want is smut.
Mm-hmm.
So... Are we? I've written
this. It's actually not a romantic song, is it? This is about going through the motions.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It is disgusting. Do you know what she says in this lyrics?
Yeah.
I feel you between my kidneys.
Yeah. You've got come and go between my kidneys.
Yeah.
He's not into it. She's loving it. He's not into it.
Oh, really?
Mm.
I did not know that.
Je t'aime, moi non plus. I don't love you anymore. Is what he's saying.
Still doing it, though. He's still doing it.
Exactly. Just to be polite.
What a bloke. Unbelievable. Anyway. It's time for some erotica. It's called Love in the White House, and it was quite hastily written, I'm not going to lie to you. Kath has not approved this, but we do have a dump button, which means if I go over the line, we can get rid of it, right, Kath? So if all of a sudden, you know, I'm talking, sorry, and that happens, Yeah, I'll be in mid-sentence. Sorry!
Do we have a safe word? I need a safe word, don't
bananas.
Okay.
Well, always bananas.
You sprang for that very quickly.
Always bananas. Always been my safe word. Not that I've ever had occasion to use it. Love in the White House. You're going to play Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
I'll play the Donald. Or maybe we should have Ed as the Donald. No, we can't do that. Anyway. Donald J. Trump walked to the window of the Oval Office, now decorated in solid gold with all the furniture made out of living anorexic former Miss World contestants, and looked out over the moonlit grass. Sipping his Trump whiskey and nibbling on a Trump biscuit. That has to be a euphemism. He reflected on what a wild few months it had been. Who could ever have predicted the result of the election? An absolute dead heat between the Democrats and Republicans. Who could have imagined such an unlikely coalition between him and Hillary ever having worked so well? The soft whisper of the door opening made him turn around in time to see it knocking into a floor lamp made out of a 64-pound former Miss Nairobi, sending her crashing to the ground. It was Hillary.
Hi, Don,
she said coolly.
Hillary,
replied the Donald. Hillary walked across to her desk, the only non-human piece of furniture in the room. The Donald cast an appreciative eye over her red trousers. After 70 years of it, he was tiring of having sex with an endless parade of nubile supermodels. He found himself wanting something a little more frumpy. The sound of Hillary crunching on the still twitching legs of a frog, her favorite snack, broke him from his dirty reverie.
Frog?
She asked, offering him the bowl.
You know I don't eat foreign food, replied the Donald. I eat American food, pizza, ice cream, French fries, hamburgers.
He set down his... That bed underneath us is getting
bananas!
Proper... Yes, safe word on the bed. Sorry. He set down his glass and rested his feet on Miss Nantucket. Hillary watched him. He was, without question, the most infuriating man she'd ever worked with, and she'd appeared with Big Bird on Sesame Street. But there was something. That helmet of hair. That face, which had got progressively more orange across the presidential campaign. He oozed masculinity, which is why they'd had to put Lino down in the Oval Office. She hated to admit it, but she was drawn to him. She stood up and leant seductively over Miss New Hampshire, who moaned in protest.
Donald,
she said beguilingly, Kath, beguilingly.
Oh, Donald.
Yes. What? He asked, making no effort to hide his lascivious glances at the breasts.
Oh, God.
Is that okay? Which strained against her red felt jacket. That's all right.
I want to thank you for giving me what transpired to be a massive election.
You too, replied Donald. In fact, you're giving me one now.
I'm sorry my hanging chads gave you so much trouble down south,
replied Hillary. You could have made more of that.
Well,
that's about as late as I can...
Hanging chads!
You know, said the Donald, removing his baseball cap, you know, you're going to make me want to grab you by the...
Well, I hope you're ready,
teased Hillary.
Because it's absolutely... Oh, no! You're a filth bag. I hope you're ready.
Tease Hillary, sorry.
Because it's absolutely massive, black, and furry, with white patches.
What? Asked Donald.
And we call it socks.
Oh, you mean the White House Pussycat. 1993 to 2001, said Donald. I meant your...
I know what you meant,
said Hillary, shrugging off her red clothes and standing naked before him. The Donald looked at her, drinking her in. Women, he thought, were like fine wines. They had an incredible capacity for staining carpets. Fortunately, the lino had been scotch-guarded. Donald stood and slowly opened his shirt.
Oh, no.
Exposing his girlish orange breasts.
Bananas! Oh, no.
Hillary...
Oh, I've just read the next bit.
Leant forward. Oy. This is okay, right?
No, it's not okay.
Come on, men walk around topless in the street in Britain.
It's what Hillary does next I've got a problem with.
And took his nipple in her mouth, teasing it until he dislocated his jaw with over-jutting. Elect Trump, he gasped. And she did. Peerless orator that she was.
Gosh.
It's a shame I ran out of time.
You kiss your mother with that mouth. That is the reason we
know what I do to my mother with that mouth.
Oh God!
I tell her she's the best mother in the world. I'm sure she's apart from the mother of my child.
Patient woman.
Every day, yeah.
Are you kidding? We're not going to be allowed back into America after that. If anyone.
I'm pretty sure I'm already not allowed in America. You know, I have an American ex-wife.
Do you?
Yeah. Did you know that?
No, I do now.
Yeah.
I have two American nephews.
Mine's better.
Well, I'm still talking to mine.
Ah. Yes, you may. All right. If we're playing American Top Trumps, yes, you won on that level.
But they'll learn. I mean, they're only 5 and 3 right now, so.
Have they got a twangy?
No, they haven't. Disappointingly, they came over before they could talk. So, I mean, although they'll have all the pros of having American citizenship, they don't have the accent, the cute accent.
No, it's not. Is it cute?
It's not cute. Yeah, it's cute. They were from Georgia. They were
honestly
born in Georgia.
I'm not going to lie to you, right? I mean, I don't have a problem with Americans having American accents. That's fine. But I started to think, you know, what if I had a child with this woman? And you'd end up living in America, and my kid would be like, "Hey, Dad,
Daddy,
what up, Pop?" I'd be like, "You're not my child."
Okay, yeah, so that's kind of a deal breaker.
Kind of, a little bit, yeah, yeah. I just couldn't take it. So she had to go. she's dead now. She's not really. I'm kidding. I'm having fun with you. She's fine.
Wow, it's kind of macabre fun.
Oh, I don't. It wasn't a green card situation exactly, but it was, you know, it was just one of those.
Wow, just don't say any more because already, I mean, we've committed
How
kind
am I
of
doing?
Treason.
How am I doing? Yeah, fine. It's more or less it from us, isn't it? It's going to be the.
But lots more from America coming.
Oh yeah, to be honest, I've just been like a bad fluffer for the whole event.
This is like the season finale of America that we're watching right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, you know, like.
Oh, we see, as in the country.
Yeah.
The explosive season
finale.
Stay tuned for the explosive season finale. Mm-hmm. I
hope
think
it's not explosive. That would be.
It won't be explosive. It'll be fine. Everyone will just go. The Associated Press has said West Virginia's going for Trump. They're a bit slow on the game, aren't they? We said that ages ago. Someone else said that. Thank you very much for having me. I should, now is probably as good a time as any, to tell people that if they've enjoyed me in any way.
Gosh. Do you want to rephrase that?
On any level. I'm a desperate man. I don't want to rephrase that. They can tune in on Sunday mornings from 8 o'clock, which is when I do Sunday breakfast.
And if they're too lazy to do that, you're on a podcast, you're available.
I'm always available.
Highly available.
That's the reason why I'm doing this show, because Denny the boss, he was like, who's definitely available? When your surname begins with a Y, you know that everyone else pretty much has been phoned. Apart from Benjamin Zephaniah, everyone's been phoned.
He's still sitting by the phone drumming his fingers.
yeah. Thinking, oh, I could have done that show. I would have done a much better show. He should change his name to J.J. Abrams or something. But yes, if you search for Jake Yap Sunday Best, we have a lot of fun. We do stuff a bit like this. We do a thing called The Setters, which is sort of sketches about the week. And that goes down well. It's sort of done like The Archers, except it isn't really.
It's better, if anything, I've heard.
If anything, it is definitely better. 100%.
Yeah.
Lord Sugar. Do that. In the meantime, stick around. Two mics are here with the, frankly, the proper election coverage. I mean, in all fairness to us, we've basically had to fill for 3 hours, which is what everyone on all the TV channels have been doing for 3 hours.
Yeah, except we
They've
didn't
gone
have any
on
fancy,
nothing.
We didn't have any fancy graphics.
We didn't have any fancy graphics. No. Sky say that 33 electoral votes have gone to Trump now, with 3 to Clinton, which is sort of, on one level, jolly exciting. But on another level, you've got to get 270. So it's
early. The night is young.
Kath, thanks for everything tonight.
Hey, you're welcome.
I really appreciate it. That's it from me. That's it from Ed. Should I? Yeah, okay, bye.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.